Rex Jones guest hosting the War Room today on the brand new Alex Jones Network. I could not be happier than to be here right now. I'm very honored, grateful, and feeling a little bit lucky they're letting me host the show today. I want to shout out the crew and everyone back there. Thank you so much. We have a phenomenal interview for you guys today. In the second hour, I'm going to be interviewing Joe Kent, who I actually got the chance to meet at the Rage Against the War Machine event in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for the Libertarian Party National Convention that dovetailed with it. So I actually got to meet him and Ivan Ranklin in person, which was very cool. We're going to be talking about that, his views on foreign policy, his views on the generational divide, which are questions that if you follow me and the media that I make and the things that I'm interested in talking about, it's the youth and the elderly. It's kind of, you know, the difference in thinking between the boomers and then you got kind of millennials onward, right? So we're going to be getting into all that. Really looking forward to that. If you guys want to find me on Rumble, that's going to be Gray Area Talks on Rumble. Thank you so much. But yeah. So, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the economy lately because, like a lot of you, like all of you, it directly affects me pretty severely. So I'm in the pick and pack shipping business, right? And I'm having to make a decision to downsize right now. And, you know, it's the right decision. It's the rational decision. It means I get to keep my business alive. But on the flip side, you know, I wasn't thinking about downsizing a couple years ago or a year ago when Trump got elected or it looked like Trump was going to be elected. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about the golden age. I was thinking about the no new wars. I was thinking about, you know, how happy the consumers would be, how happy I would be to spend money and how cheap and available things would have been. But we live in a situation now in the modern era, you know, after February 28th, where all that has kind of become like a distant, hazy dream, you know, like a dream you had a week ago that you, oh, was so amazing, but you kind of lost it. And we've woken up into the bitter reality of what is going on. So after this initial 5-minute segment, I'm going to be getting into Trump's latest statement on the ceasefire, memorandum of understanding, peace agreement, whatever, which is not a peace agreement. We're going to get into why that is and why it's not going to be carried out ultimately and a lot more. But first off, I want to start by asking you guys a very simple question. How do you feel being an American right now? You know, are you proud of that? Are you proud to be an American citizen? Does your government reflect you and what you want to see happen? Well, I think if you're over the age of 75, you're probably saying it's great. My stock portfolio is amazing. I'm rolling in the millions. I've got the huge house that's appreciating all of it. But, you know, if you're under a certain age demographic, if you didn't get to experiment and play in the market of the 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, if you're someone like me that was born in 2002 and graduated high school in 2020, you look at it and you say, well, I never had a chance, right? Because we get hit with COVID. We get hit with inflation. We get hit with Ukraine war and all the spending and further inflation. And now the Iran war and potential World War III, which some would say, and I would agree, has already started to happen. And then you tell us, you tell the younger generation, just suck it up, it'll be fine. Just make yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Like, this is literally the type of stuff I'm seeing online. So I want to speak to that myself personally just for a second. We live in an unreasonable economy, folks. Some would call it, I would call it a recession. And just because it doesn't impact the most rich, elderly, politically engaged class in the country doesn't mean it doesn't impact everybody else. And even in a country like America, where people, sadly, 54% of them read at a sixth grade level or below, they're starting to wake up. It's starting to really matter to them. The problem with our country over the past 100 years is that domestic policy has eclipsed foreign policy. When foreign policy is our domestic policy, if we do it overseas, we're going to do it to our own people over here. That includes wars. That includes dehumanization. That includes genocide, mass tracking, surveillance grid tracking systems. So it's time for us all to realize that these events aren't consequence-free and they're not contact-free. I mean, look at this as an example. My dad often points it out. You know, post-2001, now into the modern age, we have 15 times the Muslim population in America that we did before 9/11. You know, if it really is, you know, the genocidal mission of, you know, getting rid of all the Muslims or whatever, why do we have more of them over here? And that's just an obvious hypocrisy. I'll be right back. Thank you so much. War Room, Rex Jones.
Most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
You're tuned in to The War Room Live with your host, Rex Jones.
Welcome back to the afternoon transmission, May 29th, 2026. I am your host, Rex Jones, guest hosting The War Room today. Joe Kent coming up in about an hour. Don't want to miss it. Stay right here. We're going to get into the latest from the Dear Leader, which is what I was saying in the last segment. Now, I was pointing out the hypocrisy of some of these things that we're told. Like, for example, this is an 8-week war that's been going on for 47 years. They must not have a nuclear weapon, but we're trying to push them to make a nuclear weapon. All of these things just kind of make zero sense. But I want to read the latest from the peace president, because I think this is the 12th or 13th time he said that they have an agreement. So let's go ahead and get that punched up on the screen. I'm going to go ahead and dictate. This is from at Real Donald Trump, Truth Social. He truthed it out. So that means it's true. Iran must agree that they will never have a nuclear weapon or bomb. The Hormuz Strait must be immediately open. No tolls for unrestricted shipping traffic in both directions. All water mines, bombs, if any, will be terminated.
We have removed through detonation numerous such mines with our great underwater minesweepers. Iran will complete the immediate removal or detonation of any mines that are left, which will not be many, let me tell you.
Ships caught in the strait due to our amazing and unprecedented naval blockade will now be lifted. Okay. All right. Now, that's probably not true. Definitely not true. May start the process of heading home. Say hello in all caps to your wives, husbands, parents, and families from me, your favorite president. And resident schizophrenic, unfortunately. The enriched material, sometimes referred to as nuclear dust, he's still on this, he's still obsessed with it, which is buried deep underground with virtually collapsed mountains caused by our powerful B-2 bomber attack 11 months ago sitting on top of it. Okay, so he's saying it's impenetrable, they can never get it, we destroyed it, obliterated, blah, blah, blah. But then we're also going to go in there? What? All right, I'm going to read this to you again. I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second. Our powerful B-2 bomber attack 11 months ago, sitting on top of it, will be unearthed by the United States. Okay, so we got to stop letting him watch Transformers movies. Okay, this sounds like Transformers 4 or Fast and Furious 7. All right, he's staying up too late. He can't be watching these movies. All right, we're going to go in there with Vin Diesel and The Rock and Ludacris, and we're going to be able to dig it out of the ground. All right. It's like Colonel McGregor said on Daniel Davis I was watching the other day. We're smoking crack in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. That's what's going on. That's crazy. It will be unearthed by the United States, which is, it is agreed, is the only country along with China with the mechanical capability of doing so. So he's kowtowing to China as he says it. It's totally crazy. With the mechanical capability of doing so in close coordination and conjunction with the Islamic Republic of Iran, plus the International Atomic Energy Agency, and will be destroyed. I'm inserting the will be to make it make sense after I've kind of chopped it up there a little bit. So basically what this is, and I'm going to keep reading the agreement, what this is Trump desperately needing and trying to get a win. Because as Joe Kent says, and we're going to talk about this, I want him to give his impassioned stance on why this needs to happen. Love him, hate him, whatever about Donald Trump. He needs to declare victory and leave immediately. Okay, that's what I thought would have happened at this point, right? But we're not getting that, folks. We're not getting that. So he needs a win somehow, and he's going to consider the win to be the removal of the nuclear dust. Let me tell you, we're going to remove all the nuclear. And it's just, it doesn't mean anything. It's just like when he says he ended transgender for everybody. What does that mean? It's rhetoric. It's emotion in language. It has no actual meaning. It's meant to evoke something in someone to get them to do something that you want. And that's also called magic, and it's not okay. That's the same thing with, like, repeating something over and over again, like the Iran must not have a nuclear weapon or Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. Iran hasn't wanted a nuclear weapon. They had a fatwa. It's a crime against God, a religious decree since 2004. But they won't tell you that because they think you're stupid. And they think they can buy you off with propaganda. And the real thing about Trump that we have to ask, the real question about Trump is it Stockholm syndrome? Is he legitimately being threatened? Is he just that evil? Does he just not care? It could be any one of these things. But you know what all those things have in common? You shouldn't be running the government. You shouldn't be running the military. You shouldn't be doing these things if you are criminally insane. All right. And that's what starting an illegal war of aggression is. It's criminally insane. It's even more insane that we didn't do this for our empire. Okay. If Trump wanted to play Emperor Palpatine in Death Star Max, you know, I can disagree with it. I can hate it. I would. That's against my morals and principles, but at least it would be for America. We prioritize the interests of a foreign nation over our own. That is just reality. There's no debating that. There's no arguing that. They took us to war. Rubio said so on March 1st. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So we had to join in. We only thought it would be 24 to 48 hours. That was the rationale for the 13 dead Americans. Okay? I think that's like 16 and a half gallons of blood. That's what 16 and a half gallons of blood are worth. They're worth nothing. Okay? So this is a very serious matter. And for him, you know, to be kind of dancing around, waddling around, fantasizing about the nuclear dust, or watching Ernest Goes to Prison or whatever, and getting these crazy hijinks ideas, it's not going to work out. And he already has the victory, meaning if he left, he would get the positive response that he wants. Right? So it's not actually that complicated. He just needs to GTFO.
You know, they told me the Jedi are a real problem. Let me tell you, we've got to do something about them. They're making plots. They're making schemes. The Jedi must never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. Let me tell you, it's true.
All right, here's the thing. It would be cooler if you're Darth Sidious. You become Darth Vader. That's the archetype. And that truly is archetype. I'll speak to it in a little bit. And I got News Blitz coming next segment. We got Joe coming up as well. But it is that ethos of the American spirit, that tree of liberty, that Trump embodied temporarily or pretended to embody or partially embodied, whatever you want to say, that he has become the antithesis of, and that is the Anakin Skywalker archetype, the Chosen One archetype, into the Darth Vader archetype. And that is not what I thought I was voting for. Okay, I thought I was voting for somebody like Han Solo, who was like, yeah, you're a smuggler or whatever, but you're a good guy. And that turned out, sadly, regrettably, to not be the case.
You have done well, Lord Vader. Go to the Mustafa system, kill Viceroy Gunray and all the separatist leaders, then your training will be complete, and you will be strong enough in the dark side to save Padme.
I mean, look, Revenge of the Sith is an all-time classic. It's the best Star Wars movie. It's debatable. Episode 5, Navy Empire Strikes Back. Real ones that know ball know that my dad broke it down back in the day. It's all geopolitical. We got little aliens with Chinese accents, all of it. We love it. All right, let me go ahead and get into the news roundup. In that True Social post, Trump made it very clear the enriched material, sometimes referred to as nuclear dust, which is buried deep underground within the collapsed mountains, needs to be removed by us and then destroyed by the IAEA. He also noted that it is agreed that the U.S. is the only country along with China with the mechanical capability, blah, blah, blah. Already read that. As of Thursday, the draft deal described by the White House did not include Iran's agreement to destroy its enriched uranium, despite the president's claims that it would be removed. Of course not, because they're not going to do that. Another thing they're not going to do, another goalpost that's been moved, and it's an IQ test, and I feel bad for the people that don't know this. Every time I see it, I understand it. Pete Hegseth, he's like, if they have that nuclear program, I'm going to send you all off to die. All you little children. I'm going to send you off to die. And I got the clip of that right now. But when an American hears that, they go, oh, Iran has a program to make a nuclear weapon. No, they have a civilian enrichment program, and they're signatories to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Guess who's not? Israel, as Lindsey Graham would say. I-Z-R-U-L. They're not signatory. They've got nukes. They're going to hit every nation's capital if everyone doesn't stay in line. It's insane. We're all being held hostage. Okay?
This is a very serious matter for people to understand. If we have such an issue with a theocracy abusing its people and threatening people with weapons they may or may not have, just look at what's going on. And that's the key example of the hypocrisy again. And that shows you that we don't really care about any of these things, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the narrative, right? And until the day comes that it is less profitable to jack off the defense companies than it is to serve the American people, nothing is going to change. And that is precisely why I am so excited about my interview coming up. But I want to show people Pete Hegseth and the attitude that he has, literally saying, well, if they don't agree with our outrageous, made up, ridiculous demands to go to the Disneyland with us or whatever, then I'm going to send you children off to die. Go ahead and play it.
When you do your job, the adversaries know what's coming for them. And that's when they either step up.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to be pretty ADHD about the pausing. Go ahead and restart it again. I wanted to make a point.
The adversaries know what's coming for them. And that's when they either step up and meet the fury of the American military or back down, and you create a whole bunch of options for America.
The adversaries know we're going to use you as a poker chip and bargain away your lives. The adversaries know I'll park you in a military base with no air defense so that you die, so the conflict can enlarge.
And it's just like, it doesn't matter how cool you sound when you say it. You're sending them off to their freaking graves, man. Nothing cool about that. Nothing. It's liberal. Liberal, liberal, liberal. Happy fun, la la la, human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, Pete Hegseth. Play the rest of it.
The president, with what he wants to execute on behalf of the American people. So right now, hey, Iran has a choice. Meet at the table with the president and give up their nuclear program. And as the president said, I'm lost on time. 2 days ago now, in the cabinet meeting, I'm sitting right next to him. He looks in the camera and says, well, Iran can either do it the right way with a deal across the table, or they can deal with my guy on the left. That happened to be me. But it's not me. It's you guys.
Pause it. So they always tell the truth. I think it was Hunter S. Thompson that said the truth always slips through the cracks, right? It's not me. It's you guys. That's right. Because he's not going to die. He's going to be over here eating chips, drinking, and air conditioning. Okay, you're going to be in the desert on a boat somewhere or in a truck or, you know, manning some missile system or whatever. You're going to die. It ain't going to be him. And that shows you the entire attitude of these people. And I hearken back to 2018 when we were famously banned off Twitter, and Twitter took like 2 weeks longer to ban us than everyone else did, right? But when we were famously banned off Twitter, Trump responded to it publicly and he said, I'm paraphrasing, as long as I'm not banned, it's okay. That is the attitude. As long as I'm not banned, it's okay. As long as I'm not censored. You can be censored, though. That's fine. As long as I don't have to go fight, as long as I don't have to go die, you can go die. That's fine. And they just toss away life's rights, energy, humanity away like it's scraps on their plate. Go ahead and play the last 10 seconds of that again. I want people to hear that.
Or they can deal with my guy on the left. That happened to be me. But it's not me. It's you guys. It's what you're ready to do.
Shameful. Shameful. They're ready to do something. They're ready to defend the country. You're ready to put them in a position where they're going to get killed fighting an illegal war of aggression, Pete. Ain't nothing cool about that. And here's the thing. I'm a total civilian. I'm a businessman. I'm an American patriot. I am what I am. At the same time, like, they'll tell you if you're not a veteran, you're not allowed to criticize this stuff. I say, am I allowed to want those soldiers to live? Am I allowed to want those soldiers to be alive, to breathe air, to have children, to raise their families? Because I believe that. And I believe that the price for their blood should be insanely high. And we should never go to war in the way that we have. He views their blood as cheap paint. And he's willing to use it however he wants, you know, to fill out his canvas. You know, or fill out President Trump's canvas or Netanyahu's or whoever. Right? Ain't nothing patriotic about that, bro. Ain't nothing chill about that, bro. You're not cool. Like, I don't care how many patchwork sleeve tattoos you have. You're not a cool guy. You're sending fellow Americans off to get murdered because you think it's based. Because you think we have to build the third temple. He's on video saying this stuff, talking about the third temple. Not saying, gotta go send them off or whatever. But talking about the third temple, we know how these people think, ladies and gentlemen. It has nothing to do with America. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It has nothing to do with our interests. It has to do with the interests of a foreign nation thousands of miles away from us that actively needs us to preserve and expand their empire, also known as the Greater Israel Project. This is a nation that is nuclear capable. This is a nation with an extreme intelligence agency. This is a nation that will ruin anybody's life that criticizes it. This is Israel. And that's the reality. And we shouldn't be living in a reality where the greatest country in the world gets bullied and pushed around by a foreign power. And that's why it's the responsibility of every American, especially the younger Americans, to speak out. Because if you're younger, if you've grown up under the full yoke of empire, if you never knew prosperity, if you never knew peace, if you never knew the love of America, most American children, most Americans under the age of 25 don't even truly know what this country is. Hell, I barely do. Okay? And I've done the studying. I've done the research. How are you supposed to win people like that over to your side when they're incapable of understanding? And of course, they're going to go towards authoritarianism. It's all they've ever known. So when people tell us that talking is not important or doing a show is not important and reaching out is not important, this is the most dangerous job in the world, period. And it's dangerous because if you don't do it, you're the problem. Everyone needs a show. Everyone needs a Substack. Everyone needs to be out there. Everyone needs to be talking about this. This is not a game. This is not just Wally World. This is not just Disneyland. This is not just Universal Studios. We're all walking around like chuds on the Wally spaceship. We live in reality, and reality is going to get a lot worse. And we've had an abundance mindset because we've lived in abundance. We're headed towards famine. We're headed towards slaughter. We're headed towards more war because that is what we are waging across the world. It will come home back to us unless we stop it. And if you are young and you are out there and you hear this message, I'm going to tell you something unlike anyone else. I am not a Democrat. I am not a Republican. Neither are you, no matter what you think. You are not a donkey. You're not an elephant. You are a freaking human being. And it's time for all of us that have been victimized, propagandized, dehumanized for the system to wake up and hug each other and to choose love and to choose life. That's what's important, folks. Let's escape the Wally ship together. It's not fun. We don't need to live on it. We got the forests. We got the trees. We got the rivers. We got the oceans. We have all of it. God's creation, God's grace. Life is fiery with its detail. And I'm trying to quote my dad there, but seriously, guys, think about the things humans did for us to get to this point. I'm in a studio communicating with, 100,000 people right now. It's crazy. Try to tell a guy about that 100 years ago about that, his brain would explode, right? So we're living in the future. The future is now, and the future is what we make of it. And the number one thing, beyond any other issue, can all be sorted out later. And people say, that's ridiculous. That won't work. That won't happen. Screw you if you say that. I say we're all anti-war. I say every American is anti-war. I say being anti-war is an American value. No matter how much that's been stripped or tainted or taken away from us, we are an anti-war peace people. We are a peaceful people. We are a people that stand for the Republic, not for the Empire. I am not an imperialist. I spit on imperialism. I am a patriot. And I support this country and what this country used to mean, which was a nation for its people. And we've lost that now. Think about the 90s. Think about Bill Clinton for a second.
You know, I'll do the voice for a second. I got a pretty good Bill Clinton impression. Pretty good. Oh, Monica, please don't.
All right. We had a balanced budget. We were not in debt. Not even, 35, 40 years ago, however long it was. Okay. Within the last half century. How did we get to where we're at now? How did this happen? Well, primary causes, Iraq and Afghanistan, folks. That's $6 trillion and then $3 trillion. That's $9 trillion. And then you add Ukraine onto that. You add Israel-Iran war onto that. You add everything else onto that. We're at $10 trillion. So that's where we are, and that's how we got here. And anyone that denies that, anyone that tries to get you spun up on something like, we got to do this, that, the other thing, that's not important. I'm anti-war, bro. I don't care. I don't care. Who's the most anti-war candidate? I want to support that person right now. Who's that person? Who's that patriot? Who's that American? Because I'm too young to do it. Who's that guy? We're going to be asking more of these questions in the next hour. But I want to go ahead and show this from Sagar. It will take 5+ years to replace 39 days of munitions used in the Iran war. Look at these numbers. What an absolute disaster. He's absolutely correct. Tomahawk missile, estimated use in the Iran war, 1,000 plus, won't have those again until early 2031. Isn't that nice? We look at the Patriot and the THAAD. I want you to keep this in mind. The Patriot is like a $3 to $4 million system. The THAAD system is like a $12 million to $20 million system. And, oh, spoiler alert, those are all defensive munitions, and they're dependent on the radars, the billion-dollar radars that got blown the F up. So even if we make more of them now, it's a less effective weapons platform. Do you not see how stupid this all is? Do you not see how we have a military based off of a limited offensive capability and not prioritizing sound long-term engagements or defense? That's what we got going on. And it's like the most expensive service in the world. It's just like our healthcare. You know, just like our healthcare system, there's no checks or balances as to how much something can cost, right? And I did a deep dive with Tim Tompkins, my co-host on The Gray Area, where we cover, you know, the cost of like an over-the-shoulder missile went up 15x in 5 years. There's no reason for that. They can get away with it. That's why they do it. That's why they kill people, folks. They kill people, not even out of some grand malevolence, but because they can get away with it. Okay, and that is the grand malevolence, by the way. He's signing bombs. I didn't even see this. Good grief. I mean, this is embarrassing, folks. This is how we're represented on the world stage. This is what people think of us. Not cool, bro. Not cool. Not cool. All right, go ahead and get this up. One of the newest and most surprising elements of the Iran peace draft deal is a proposed investment fund for Iran, reportedly $300 billion. Iran originally framed this as reparations for war damage, which estimates at $300 billion to $1 trillion. The U.S. side is rebranding it as an international, we all call it an investment fund, y'all. It makes us so we don't look weak. It would help facilitate a softer framing that avoids the word reparations. The idea originated with Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, the real secretaries of state, not Marco Rubio, who's kind of like the secretary of Latin America and whatever, who floated promoting Tehran real estate projects and a broader investment vehicle as deal sweeteners. Well, you're going to have to do something. But I don't think these people want to make money with you. I don't think these people want to work with you. I think these people abhor you. And I think you need no further example than Trump Gaza. Okay, the music video for Trump Gaza, that was actually deplorable and sickening and disgusting, right? Where it's AI and it's him and Elon Musk, you know, hanging out on the new Dubai that's built on top of a cemetery. You know, that's pretty bad, but that's pretty much par for the course. You know, I really don't think they like the same people making money off weapons manufacturing trying to make a peace deal with them. I think maybe they don't want to negotiate with those people anymore. Have we thought about that? Have we thought about a sea change? Or does Trump not have a choice and those are his appointed negotiators by somebody else? You know, like I said, even from like a megalomaniacal, that's how you say that word, megalomaniacal standpoint, Emperor Palpatine standpoint, he wouldn't do these things. So you have to ask the question, what is the control element? But we're going to get back into it. I'm going to cover that next segment. As Benjamin Netanyahu says,
well, it's a good thing you sell me weapons, because you sell me weapons, I have to use them and then I have to buy more.
And I'm like, okay, so is it a good thing if I sell you a gun and then you go use that to do something bad? Absolutely not. Same principle applies to war and armed munitions. We are complicit in it by our assent to it. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us at Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos. And Paul Revere, we appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks. that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over to a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. We are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Through the airwaves.
Another world.
Doing the best live show on the internet.
His life was green and good until the crystal cracked.
My name is Rex Jones, and welcome to the War Room. Welcome back to the first hour. Got a lot I want to cover. We're going to get more into Pete Hegseth. All right, because I think he's a pretty good example of sycophancy, of kind of the minion system that goes on in Washington right now. Who is this guy? What's going on with him? I want to go to the next video here. Pete Hegseth stars as a cartoon pirate. Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? It might just be Pete Hegseth. Oh, it's Pete Hegseth stars as cartoon pirate. I forgot to list it as a clip video. My bad. That's on hour one, segment two. I apologize, but I can go ahead and talk about it. So I was just going to get into the bravado around talking about, well, our warfighters do X, Y, Z. Our warfighters are the most powerful. Our warfighters are the greatest. Well, they better be, because you're asking them to go ahead and go over there and go die. And that's just my greater point. Whenever any of these political officials talk about our military, talk about our troops, talk about our armed forces, I find it to be very embarrassing for the country. And, you know, just working at InfoWars all my life now, Alex Jones Network, not even working here, just stepping in, having fun, guest hosting, stepping in. I understand good production value. And the video I'm about to show you, it's endemic of what's going on in Washington, D.C. It probably took them, The same cost it took us to build this entire new studio, they probably wasted on this one green screen video. Let's go ahead and play it.
The United States has the greatest military the world has ever known. But not just because we have the best jets, the best ships, and the best weapon systems, but because our greatest asset is the American warfighter.
Pause it.
For too long.
Our greatest asset is the American body and how many we can get destroyed, how many we can obliterate, how many we can get shot or blown up in an illegal war of aggression. Bruh. We're going to spend $1.5 trillion, more money ever spent than even on World War II. We're going to spend it in 1 year for the most lethal fighting force. Not cool. Not cool. There's nothing cool about that. It's not based when you post Trump all blacked out like an alien or whatever, like Slender Man, to try to show that he's hard or whatever. It's not cool to do hard style edits of people dying. Period. Go ahead and play it.
But because our greatest asset is the American warfighter. For too long, Washington has not done enough for the Americans who make our military the most lethal fighting force in history. Under President Trump, that changes right now. This budget is about our people.
Pause it. The budget is about our people. The budget is about the military-industrial complex and the foreign wars that we have to fight because people have to keep making money because if the stock market goes down, we're all screwed. And some poor bastard will watch this as a part of a Fox News montage and will believe it, and then they go vote for Ed Yowron, and then we get Thomas Massie out of office. Like, that's literally what happens. You know how I knew Massie was going to lose? And I made this prediction live on my show. You know how I knew it was going to happen? I said, ooh, he's putting out a statement directly to Fox News only households. I didn't even realize there was such a thing, but Fox News only. Can you imagine? Okay, I receive probably about, you know, like 1 hour of Fox brain rot a day. And that was because my dad's personal trainer, Patrick, would have it playing in the gym when they would work out in the morning or whatever, because my dad's a news guy and he needs news updates and whatnot. I tried to watch Hannity with my grandparents the other night, last week. And they do an ad for the data center. They don't do an ad for a political candidate. They don't do an ad for a political party. They don't do an ad for whatever. It's just, if you don't,
America needs strong data centers to be able to compete with China. Those who don't want American companies to have strong data centers are probably Democrats. Are you a Democrat? I didn't think so. You're watching Fox News. Support data centers today.
Like, they're doing an ad for the data center. We have entered Orwell's 1984, but even beyond it, you know, people always say that, but you know, I've read that book, of course. But the book that I really remember that really reminds me of what's going on right now is Brave New World. Like, it's much more Brave New World than 1984 because instead of the Soma being a literal drug, the drug is the media. The drug is the television. And that's the funny thing about being a younger person is, like, even though we're addicted to screens and we interface with them all day, we're crying out for help. We're like, please get this thing away from me, right? Like, young people, they just want to log off. They want to have fun. They want to do real things in the real world. Old people literally just watch the television. And it's not even that they like the shows on there, they like the production on there. It's like a hypnotic system of pharmaceutical ads, military-industrial complex stuff, Zionist agenda, blah, blah, blah. Like, how many times have I seen the same commercial, the same 98-year-old woman begging for, like, relief or whatever? And how many people's great grandmothers have gone, well, I gotta go help her now. And it's like, it's not that lady. That lady's not real. That lady's probably died 10 years ago. And that just goes to the greater point of us not being able to comprehend how ignorant we are. And that's why we're being led like lambs to a slaughter. Go ahead and go back to Pete Hegseth doing just that.
Because let's be honest about the reality on the ground. We ask our troops to leave their families, to deploy and train in the most complex threat environments since World War II. But when they return to duty, they're met with outdated facilities, substandard barracks.
All right, you know we're screwed because they're putting the white people back in the military commercials. That's how you know we're cooked. That's how you know World War III is coming, right? You didn't get Leslie Jones parachuting out of the airplane or whatever. Go ahead and play it again.
Turn to duty. They're met with outdated facilities, substandard barracks, and too often straight up hazardous living conditions. On top of that,
pause it. Okay, you want to talk about hazardous living conditions? Crew, see if you can find this. I know you can't because you're the best crew in the world. See if you can find the soldiers at that base that got bombed talking about there was no air defense and they knew it. See if you can find that. I think you're going to be able to find it. I know that's a confirmed story. So we put American troops in like the most dangerous places imaginable with no means to defend themselves. And they basically, they have the Shahid like demonic lawnmower drone. And just, what are they supposed to do? Sure, they're brave. Sure, they're American patriots. Sure, they're our soldiers. But ultimately, in that capacity, they're just serving to further your interests because you want more dead as an excuse to invade. You want to say, oh, look how they hurt us. We got to hit them back. And that's what's so sinister about all this, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead and play it again.
On top of that, before this administration, we had young enlisted families relying on food pantries just to get by. This is, of course, completely unacceptable for the greatest fighting force in the world. Our troops should never be and will never be on food stamps.
Pause. Okay, so they'll never be on food stamps, but they'll be on coffins. You know, 13 of them will be in coffins due to my foreign policy, speaking for Pete Hegseth, because that's what he supports and that's what the president supports. It's what they did. So don't worry about food stamps. They're going to be properly paid. We'll pay them good. We're going to kill them, though. How is that acceptable to people? How do people wake up in a country that does this, that makes, you know, like bad, low effort propaganda and kind of spits in your face about what's going on? They just say, well, I'm just not interested in politics. Well, I just have my hobby. I like to paint ceramics. Well, screw you. Okay. Your hobby needs to be being anti-war. Your hobby needs to be your article that you write about this, the video you make about this, the person you're helping make videos about this for, whoever. You got to get involved, okay? This is an info war, okay? It's so much of an info war, they took that name away from us because it's so powerful, okay? And you're involved as well. And I want to tell people right now, if you're out there, if you're a long-term viewer, listener, supporter, you know we have the best supplement products in the entire world. And that's always been the case. I was so proud as a little boy, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, to work in pick and pack, work in shipping, work in customer service, work in product development, work in label design, to do all these things. Because we were able to, as an independent media organization, compete and even exceed giant establishment creations. Whether you look at Gawker, Vice, Young Turks, CNN, MSNBC, we eclipsed them all during our prime. We're eclipsing most of them right now. These are organizations which are lost leaders, okay? No one's ever wanted to support them, but they're shoved down all of our throats by billionaires out there. No one's ever shoved InfoWars or the Alex Jones Network down your throat. All we've ever asked you to do is, if you like the show and if you want to support the show, then buy the phenomenal products associated with the show, like our phenomenal Ultra Methylene Blue. And to show you, practicing what we preach, I'm going to take it right now. Now, what is methylene blue? I'm going to break this down for you. It's a small molecule based off of nitrogen, chlorine, and sulfur. The chlorine group is what gives it the light scattering capability. That's why it's a medical dye. And the sulfur group donates an electron to your mitochondrial process. All right. It speeds you up through the Krebs cycle. It's a powerful nootropic. It's a powerful metabolic compound ingredient. You name it. Look at this right now. Bioavailable, do sublingual administration, which means I put it under my tongue. That means it gets through the mucosal membrane, gives you that boost, gives you that kick pretty much immediately. However, you're still perfectly fine to just take it straight. This is a phenomenal product. And, you know, I like this product so much, I invented two new products on the alexjonesstore.com, Power Plant and Methyl Drive, to accompany it. Power Plant is an incredible formula. It's got cordyceps mushroom and then golden root, which is also known as Viking root. It's also known as Rhodiola rosea, combined with a male multi-mineral blend. And everything in there synergizes and amplifies the Ultra Methylene Blue. The same with Methyl Drive, which is the classic product. If you're selling supplements, you got to have CoQ10, got to have PQQ. We have the Power Drive Bundle available on thealexjonesstore.com. I highly suggest you check those products out. I took a bit of a big dose there. I was kind of struggling for a second, but I got it down. I got it done. I'm a patriot. Having fun. Thank you guys so much. All right, let's get back into the news. I want to cover this now. This is a clip from 8 days after the war started. This is Trump and Pete Hegseth talking about the school that they claim we didn't blow up, that Iran blew up, that we did blow up, that we actually hit three times, by the way. Go ahead and play that video. That's going to be clip five.
Welcome back. Russia has joined the fight, helping Iran target Americans. The war secretary is talking about it.
Does this put U.S. personnel in any more danger than they otherwise would be?
Well,
the Russian involvement.
No one's putting us in danger. We're putting the other guys in danger. That's our job. So we're not concerned about that. We mitigate it as we need to. Our commanders factor all of this. But the only ones that need to be worried right now are Iranians that think they're going to live.
And the biggest news bulletin of the morning, Iran confirmed in an interview that Russia is helping them.
Are you receiving any help from Russia?
Well, we have a strategic partnership with Russia.
So that's a yes?
And, well, a military cooperation between Iran and Russia is not something new. It's not a secret. It has been in the past and is still there and will continue in the future.
That's not good. Senator Mike Rounds joins us now. Senator, what should the president do?
Well, first of all, the president is doing what he's supposed to be doing right now. He took the right steps when he decided that this military action was necessary and that this was the right time. But second of all, with regard to Russia, look, they're not doing anything that we don't know about. And the secretary was correct. It's the Iranians that should be worried about this. Our intel is very good. These guys can't do anything without us knowing what's going on. And this is not something new. It's not something that's surprising to anybody that's been following it. One thing that could happen right now, we would love to have approval by the White House for the sanctions bill. I think we've got almost 90 co-sponsors in the United States Senate. I'm one of the co-sponsors. Senator Lindsey Graham has been preparing it now for literally months. We would love at this point.
Yeah. So, we got to have the sanctions package. Lindsey Graham loves it. Oh, my gosh. Did it already, or just talk to me on my ear, crew. Did it already play the part of Trump and Hegseth in that clip, in that video? I just want to show that really quick, if we can go back to it. No, you're totally good. Basically, Trump and Hegseth says, well, Iran is the only side that intentionally harms civilians. And then Trump says, we think it was Iran. It was probably Iran. They are very inaccurate with their munitions. Why would they blow up their own school on day one of the conflict when the conflict hasn't even started yet? Answer, it's impossible. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Certainly investigating. But the only side that targets civilians is Iran.
We think it was done by Iran. Very inaccurate.
Pause it. Okay, so as Larry Johnson would say, that's a pile of male bovine excrement. Okay, it's pretty much confirmed. It is confirmed based on the imagery of the missiles that was us. Only four nations beside us have access to Tomahawk missiles. Those are Germany, France, Japan, and the UK. Not even Israel has them. Okay? And you can watch the footage of that strike. Go ahead and go back to that cloud of smoke, because people need to see it. People can also see the graves as well. 165 children and their teachers, elementary school teachers and students, brutally murdered in a vicious sneak attack in the initial launch of the war of aggression from the U.S.-Israeli Empire onto Iran. Is that America? Is that the America that you support? To the people out there that are more authoritarian and more imperial-minded, does that make you feel tough? Do you feel like a big boy? Do you think you have big balls just because you think it's okay to murder a bunch of little kids? You know, we know you're trash. We know you're garbage. We know you won't accept that. You know, that's why you got to kill, right? You got to kill to prove you're tough, to prove you're brave, to prove you're whatever. You're all total frauds, because if that was your daughter, if that was your sister, if that was your wife, if you're a teacher or something, right? If that was your relation in any way, you'd be bawling and crying your eyes out. Oh, how can this happen? How can this happen to me? You're paying for it over there. Why are you not crying now? I'm crying over it. I'm pissed off about it. If I punch the table, I'll break my hand. Seriously. That's how everyone needs to be about this. This ain't a joke. Go ahead and show that soldier talking about the conditions Hegseth put him in. Go ahead and show that now that we have that available.
Back now with our exclusive interview with a member of the Army's 103rd Sustainment Command, which is based in Iowa. The soldier survived an Iranian drone strike that killed six others and says their unit was unprepared to defend itself. We agreed to conceal the soldier's face and voice. Here's CBS News correspondent Jonah Kaplan.
Photos and video obtained by CBS News reveal the charred aftermath of the deadliest Iranian attack on U.S. forces in 5 weeks of war.
Everything shook, and it's something like what you see in the movies. You know, everything, your ears are ringing. You know, there's dust and smoke everywhere.
This soldier was part of a crew of about 60 troops stationed at the military post in Kuwait hit by the strike. He says his unit's leadership ordered them there despite intelligence showing it was a potential drone target.
We moved closer to Iran, to a deeply unsafe area that was a known target.
So what was the reason that you were told for why you needed to be there?
I don't think there was a good reason ever articulated.
The attack killed six American soldiers.
All right, we're not just going to let this go away. Go back to them. Don't go back to me. Stay back to them. Put my picture in the corner or whatever. Go back to those American soldiers that we lost. Okay, because look how quickly we brush this over. Look how quickly we just don't even notice it anymore. These are people. These are people with families. These are people that would have had futures, would have had lives, all taken away from them. And for what reason? There is no reason. The guy talking, speaking out, the anonymous guy, is like, there's no reason for us to be there. We're just there. We're just there. We're put there. We're told to be there. And we're ultimately, our job is to get murdered. And he didn't say that last part. I'm saying that last part, but that's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an abject nightmare and failure type situation. This is like probably the most embarrassing thing that's happened to our country. This entire war, this entire conflict. You can point at the Biden era and you can look at people falling off those planes as we left Afghanistan. At least it was probably our decision to leave Afghanistan. It was not our decision to lose these Americans. These Americans died because Israel needed them to die. Okay? That's why those Americans are dead. That's why they don't have a future. That's why they don't have, you know, time left on this planet. Their time's up. It's Netanyahu's time. Didn't you hear he dodged another corruption trial? Didn't you hear he's got prostate cancer again? But evil people never die, and good people die all the time. That is the world. But in the world beyond, of course, we know the rich man and the beggar parable. We know what's going to happen there. And, you know, those children that get bombed to death and torn limb from limb in Gaza, you know, they're going to be in heaven. And Trump and Bibi Netanyahu and Mike Huckabee and all these chuckle buddy types, they're going to be burning in hell. And you know what? That's what I believe. And I don't like to make those types of proclamations about people, but you know, you're co-signing this murder. You're enabling it. You're acting out on it. You're killing all these little kids. I think you're evil. And that's my opinion personally, but I don't know how you don't get to that point at this point. Like once you realize this is a spiritual thing, and it's about seeing people as animals and ultimately as the inferior species and as the computer as the superior species. We're going to merge with AI and be AI gods like all these people talk about. Once you realize that's really the war, once you realize we got everything and more that we need on this planet to sustain all of our life, we have infinite power, we have infinite food, we have infinite everything. All it would take is cooperation instead of obliteration. Can we just have that? And I'm going to be talking to Joe Ken about that coming up. We're going to be getting into the latest Iran war developments, negotiation developments. I want to ask him about that latest Trump tweet, of course. But I really want to ask him, as someone that has literally the wealth of knowledge and experience and understands the planet and our country at a very deep level, especially administratively at a very high level, what do we do and what does a positive future look like? You know, what is actualizing the youth and empowering the youth and showing the youth that, hey, we can cooperate. We can build a better world. War is hell. I've been there. Not me, but Joe Kent, of course. Like I think if someone comes around and is able to make that case and tell the American youth that we can have victory, we don't have to just live with defeat after defeat after defeat. How about a win? You know, for the Trump administration, we were all told, ourselves at InfoWars, and Joe Ken included, we were all told at various levels, you know, we're all going to come in and get on the big win. You know, it's all the good policy we've ever supported. It's everything we've ever liked. Come on in for the big win. And look what happens, right? The big win is, in fact, serving the people that spat on Trump for the past decade. The big win is actually starting this foreign war. It's not MAGA. It's not America First. Trump just says MAGA is whatever he says it means. MAGA means MIGA, M-I-G-A. These MIGAs are crazy. That is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. These MIGAs have gone insane. So we're doing this reality. We're going to get into it more. I'm going to interview Joe Kent coming up. I want you all to stay here. Going to do a little shout-out plug for myself, okay? I want you to go to JonesCBD.com. That's JonesCBD.com, and I want you to check out the amazing blends I've got for you. I've got Dreamwave PM, which is full-spectrum CBD, melatonin, and then blue chamomile CO2 extract all combined into one thing together. It's amazing for sublingual absorption. You brush your teeth, wash your mouth out at night, you put it under your tongue, go to sleepy time, wake up in Narnia, and then wake up again feeling refreshed, feeling like a patriot. I've got the amazing Ultra Chill blend as well, which is the specific formula that I developed for my father. It's got ashwagandha and theobromine in it. Of course, theobromine, milder, stronger, longer lasting than caffeine, has a better half-life, all of it in ashwagandha, amazing, lowers cortisol, raises testosterone. I've also got the nano emulsified CBD on there. That means it's water-soluble, emulsified in a lectin layer. Any and all of your needs. These products have incredible prices, $37.95 for the Dreamwave. That's a 1,500 milligram CBD tincture. Nobody else is giving you that deal. And the reason why I'm asking you for help is because I'm an American businessman. I'm an American employer. I'm in business. I manufacture. I do pick and pack. I ship. This is not something where somebody reads you a code or whatever. This is what I learned how to do. So if you want to support my ventures and the shows that I'm doing and my future projects, I want you to go to JonesCBD.com and check out if there's anything there that tickles your fancy. But we're going to get back into it. I'm interviewing Joe Kent momentarily. Please stay with us. We're going to get into Candace Owens and Anna Kasparian having a unity moment. We're going to get into Greenblatt and the pagers. We're going to get more into Hegseth. We're going to get more into the data centers. We're going to cover it all today. Thank you for being here on The War Room, hosted by your buddy, Rex Jones. And I'm also live every single morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. All right, and that's New American Journal on Rumble. And then I'm live 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. on Thursday and Sunday, and that's Gray Area Talks. That's kind of the marquee show. I'm around. I'm available. I love you. I was live this morning. Please check me out if you're interested. We're going to be right back with Joe Kent.
At midnight, Alex Jones was thrown out and locked out of his InfoWars studio along with his crew after the 8-year-long legal battle trying to shut him down and censor him is coming to a close. And liberal media are celebrating with headlines like this. The lights go out at Alex Jones InfoWars, and InfoWars.com, the domain name, now has a message that just says off air. But these people don't know anything about Alex Jones, because if you just go to alexjoneslive.com, the website looks very similar to the old InfoWars website. And look at there! There is a live feed of his show, the Alex Jones Show, now just not using the InfoWars name, where he is continuing. It hasn't missed a beat! If you go to the Apple App Store and the Android App Store and search for AJN Live, you can download the new Alex Jones Live app, where you can still listen to his show streamed live on your phone. Or you can just find and follow Alex Jones on Twitter X, where he still has 4.5 million followers, because despite the lawyer's attempts to try to take his personal account, they failed. And you can see there the live icon around his profile photo shows that he is live streaming the show there on repeat 24/7.
There is a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back. Stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds. Hear the broadcast. Share the signal.
alexjoneslive.com. The coordinates of freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I want to talk real quick about Massey's race and what it means and why I see some hope that came out of the unfortunate loss. Now, obviously, the bad news is Thomas Massey lost his primary, which means we're going to lose one of our best members of Congress. The seat basically was bought out from underneath him. The establishment, the special interest group, spent about $40 million in dark money to prop up the other candidate and ultimately defeat Thomas Massey. Now, where's the good news? The good news is in the demographics of who voted for Massey and who voted for his opponent. People from, you know, about age 55 and down voted for Thomas Massey. This means, you know, two major things in my view. This means, number one, that Massey's voting record and his message of putting America first, having accountability, you know, for our corrupt elites, not getting us into any more foreign entanglements, getting foreign influence out of our politics, that resonates with younger voters. It also means that the younger voters won't be swayed by, you know, the number of television commercials they see on cable news, ads in the newspaper, you know, radio commercials, mailers being sent to their house, this traditional campaign media blitz that the dark money is able to purchase. It's not effective on the younger voters because the younger voters are getting their information from social media, from podcasts, from a wide variety of media sources that are much more free-flowing and have a much more free marketplace of ideas. So that gives me a lot of hope. This means if we can get the younger voters to get out there and to vote, if we can mobilize these younger voters, then we can start getting more America First politicians across the finish line. And in 2028, if we can build a broad populist America First coalition of independents, not Republicans, not Democrats, but independent-minded Americans who want to put our nation first, who don't think we should be fighting these foreign wars, who don't think that a foreign government like Israel should be able to come in and essentially, you know, buy a seat in Congress, we can build a coalition based on that. The numbers are there. We just have to organize it. Something else that I think is very telling from Thomas Massey's race and very, very important, and it represents an inflection point and a line of departure in MAGA. Massey drew the ire of President Trump when he pushed for the transparency of the Epstein files. And, you know, the whole Epstein topic, the Epstein class, the Epstein files, to me, it represents in spirit what President Trump stood against, what he campaigned against. Going back to 2016, President Trump promised to take on our elite, because that's what the Epstein class truly is. It's an elite group of people who don't play by the same rules as we do, whether it's, you know, victimizing women and children in the most horrific ways, or it's just playing by an entirely different set than the hardworking people in the United States of America. And so this Epstein class, it's what President Trump promised to be the solution to. He promised to fight them on our behalf. The Epstein class represents everything, you know, from the warmongers that vote to send our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters, patriots like my late wife, off to go fight and die in foreign wars that don't benefit the American people. A war like we're in right now in Iran that Thomas Massey and many others stand against, that the vast majority of the American people don't support. The Epstein class also represents the financial class, the people who benefited from all the different financial crises that we have suffered and we've endured here in the United States. The Epstein class also represents the people who opened up our borders and let crime run amok on our streets while our law enforcement agencies and our intelligence agencies were weaponized against the American people. So President Trump promised to be the solution to this, but the second Thomas Massey called for accountability for the Epstein class, Trump turned against him. He turned against Massey, he turned against Marjorie Taylor Greene. He even just recently turned against Lauren Boebert because Boebert went out there and actually campaigned with Massey to try to get him across the finish line in his primary. Boebert was also supporting the declassification and the transparency for the Epstein files themselves as well. And so it's a major line of departure, and it's very telling to see who is, you know, siding with President Trump as he seeks to, for some reason, protect the Epstein class, as he seeks to continue to send us off into pointless, endless wars, and who is staying true to the America First agenda, who's staying true to, you know, what used to be MAGA. So going forward, I think if we focus on mobilizing the younger voters, supporting people like Thomas Massey, supporting
targeting anybody who's willing to put our country first and having a broad populist coalition of not Republicans, not Democrats, but independents, because most Americans, especially young Americans, they actually self-identify as independents. And if we can have a populist platform that says we're not going to get involved in these foreign entanglements, we're not going to let foreign governments come in and tell us how our government should conduct our foreign policy, we're not going to let foreign governments come in and buy our elections, and we're actually going to hold the corrupt elite in our country accountable.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to the alexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the War Room Live with your host, Rex Jones.
We're doing today what's called broadcasting, ladies and gentlemen. It's called looking into the camera and talking to the world. I'm joined today by Joe Kent, who I had the honor of meeting in Grand Rapids at the Rage Against the War Machine event. He's with me now, and there's so much I wanted to interview you about and talk to you about. I think really the generational divide is something that I want to touch on, and really I love what you're saying about building a coalition of the younger people that are really against all this stuff and really abhor it at a deep level. But I want to start off by just kind of like color news of the day type of thing. This has been, you know, the 11th or 12th agreement Trump has claimed is going to be signed. Do you think a peace negotiation or a memorandum of understanding is going to go through?
You know, I don't think so, man. And I was just looking at the news before he came on today, and he just got done, I guess, with his meeting. The Iranians came out and said that they kind of rejected what the president had laid out in his Truth Social, or not necessarily rejected it, but said that, you know, it didn't properly characterize their understanding of the agreement. So as of right now, you know, no agreement. It doesn't seem like much has changed. I've been advocating for the president just to basically declare victory and pull our forces out before there's unfortunate mistake that happens when we exchange fires. We've gone through a couple different iterations where we say the ceasefire is holding, but then we have some brush with the Iranians. We just had our base in Kuwait was at least targeted. We intercepted the missiles. But the thing with us having to be there in those contested areas is we have to be lucky always. The enemy only has to be lucky once. If tragically we end up losing some troops in one of these exchanges, then we're not going to be able to leave. So I'm saying, like, right now, while we can, let's just punch out. We can work everything else out quietly behind the scenes. And Trump can say that he won this whole thing, because I don't believe right now with the hard lines that he's drawn, the poison pills, I don't think the Iranians are going to accept them.
Right.
They feel like they have the upper hand.
Well, that's the thing, right? Where they get the nuclear program, the civilian nuclear program, and they tie that together with, you know, kind of the mantra, the magic spell, which is Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. You're like, well, the fatwa, they agreed to not have one in 2004. We were the ones that left that agreement. Right? You try to explain that to people, their brains break. What would you have to say to an American that may not be aware of this entire situation and the difference between the civilian nuclear and nuclear program?
You know, I would just say, if we look at the long course of all the data that we have on the Iranians, they have never sprinted towards getting a nuclear weapon. It's easy to characterize the Iranians as like crazy jihadis, because a lot of their terrorist organizations will use some jihad-like references. And without getting too in detail on like Shias versus Sunnis, the Iranians have always kind of had a very measured escalation ladder. The Shia militants that they support and they fund have only attacked us when we've gone into the Middle East.
Right.
So they haven't, these aren't the guys that are getting on airplanes to fly over here and kill Americans. Their nuclear program is very similar as well. In about 2003, the Supreme Leader, the guy that we killed at the beginning of this, he put out a fatwa, a religious decree, which most Americans would be like, I don't really care about an Islamic religious decree. Neither do I, quite frankly. I care about the actions that came next. So the fatwa said that it's, you know, forbidden for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Because their system is hybrid between, you know, the Shia religion and the government, he gave a bunch of Shia religious reasons why they wouldn't have a nuclear weapon. But also it was very pragmatic because at the time we had just invaded Iraq because we said Saddam has weapons of mass destruction. Saddam never really came clean because he wanted the Iranians to think he had a nuclear weapon. So Saddam always kind of beat his chest a little bit publicly about like, well, maybe I do have a nuclear weapon. But then a couple of years later, Gaddafi said, well, I don't want to get the Saddam treatment, Gaddafi in Libya, and he gave up all of his enrichment, all of his nuclear
did
program.
Did not end well. And did not end well for him, specifically.
Did not end well for him or for Saddam.
Yes, yes.
So over time, the Iranians...
My bad.
Yeah. So over time, the Iranians, they held the fatwa. They didn't develop any nuclear weapons, but they basically said, like, we're going to have what I call the Goldilocks version. They're going to have something halfway in between where they're going to say, we could have a nuclear weapon. We're going to retain the ability to enrich and we're going to use some of it for civilian purposes. But we are not going to actually get a nuclear weapon. So it was less dramatic than, you know, what the North Koreans did. So that was actually holding that. That prohibition was holding up until this last iteration of the war. And once President Trump came back into the office, number one, the Iranians withheld their proxies from attacking us. Under Biden, the proxies were attacking us because they didn't respect Biden. But they held back those proxies up until, again, this last iteration of the war. Even during the 12-day war in Midnight Hammer, the proxies didn't attack us. So the Iranians actually, I'm no fan of the Ayatollahs. I've fought these guys in the streets of Baghdad and Najaf, et cetera, before, but they actually are fairly pragmatic and they do observe a close escalation ladder. So they are people that we can deal with. We're not going to agree all the time, but I do believe we can deal with them.
What's really going on here? Why are we at war with Iran? What is the true reason? Because, you know, after us talking for a little bit, it doesn't seem to truly be about the nuclear weapon. You know, oftentimes it's like this game where they move the goalposts. They talk about nuclear weapon, then civilian enrichment, and then the ballistic missiles. And go, ballistic missiles, what does that have to do with the nuclear weapon? They go, well, we don't want them to be able to hit Israel. We got to have restrictions to their ballistic missile program. I heard Hannity talk about this. I've heard Levin talk about this ad nauseum. What is it really about? Why is this war actually happening?
This is happening because the Israelis, from an Israeli optic, and they're actually correct on this, this is probably the most vulnerable that not right now, but prior to this war starting, the Iranians were the most vulnerable that they've been. They've done an enormous, they've done a great job of actually coming back, and now they have a lot of advantages that they didn't have before. They weren't flexing before. But when President Trump came into office, October 7th, it happened, you know, basically 2 years
right
before, the Israelis went, you know, they did horrific things in Gaza, but they did significant damage to Hamas. They did significant damage to Hezbollah. They had the pagers operation. They killed the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah. Assad had just fallen. So Assad was no longer there in their backyard, basically supplying Hezbollah. So they assessed that, like, look, our enemies are on their back heel right now. Now we need to go after the head of the snake, the country that we've wanted to take down basically for the last 25 plus years.
Right.
We assessed the Ayatollahs as weakest. We're going to go for it. But they knew that they couldn't do it on their own. They needed to get us on board.
Yes.
This is where you saw what I described in my resignation letter. The echo chamber come in. The Israelis really used the full scope of their access to American officials, American media, AIPAC, the lobby. It was a full court press to get this issue of, you know, enriched uranium front and center to move that red line. Trump tried to take that issue off the playing field with Operation Midnight Hammer by taking away their, you know, ability to enrich uranium. But the Israelis kept coming. I believe they were able to convince President Trump that this whole thing was going to be quick and easy, just like Venezuela. They got him on board.
Right.
And the rest, why he's not just walking away right now, that leads me to ask other questions that we can discuss. But that's kind of the short answer of how we got into this.
I mean, basically, back in the old days during, you know, the heyday InfoWars, like 2016, really to like 2018, 2020, we were basically Olympic champion water carriers for Trump. Like, he was our guy. We believed in him. Like, that's what I grew up doing. I was a child political pundit. Okay, so I sang this man's praises literally for a decade, but I did it from a genuine perspective of believing in the mission. And I said, hey, this guy's a pragmatist. When I watched the 60 Minutes documentary or interview, excuse me, where the guy says, you say you'd get along with Putin. Putin's a killer, sir. Don't you know Putin's a killer? And Trump goes, you think we're so innocent. I thought that was beautiful. That's the country. Like, be real, be honest about it, and then from there, make real pragmatic decisions where we can have cooperation and we can end the wars. I didn't realize he was just saying, hey, we're going to be able to do this, so I'm going to do it too. And that's the thing that broke my heart. You know, like, none of this makes me happy. Like, the criticism that we have to do, the due diligence we have to do, none of it makes me happy. And a part of me has to wonder how much of this is due to the boomer problem, the old age problem, the guy who is 80 years old and probably sleeps for like 3 hours a night and is led around through a series of rooms to rubber stamp and sign various documents that he may not know anything about. And then all you're surrounded by are your friends. Right. And your friends are all younger than you. They're all rich, as rich or richer than you. And they know the right thing for you to do. So just go ahead and sign it. How much of it is that? Do you think he's being, you know, I think he's in a bad circle?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. And I feel the same way you do. I mean, I got involved in politics largely because of President Trump. I took out one of the Trump impeachment voters in a congressional primary, and then was honored to serve in his administration. So the actions that he's taken, in the last 18 months, I agree with you. They're heartbreaking. They're very frustrating. A lot of this is, the control mechanisms, I think, of just having a really, really tight circle. In the lead up to the 12-day war, in Midnight Hammer, we had a really robust debate because the president does actually have, if he would use it, although it's being thinned out every day, a really diverse cabinet. And so the deputies committees process we were doing, the National Security Council process that we were doing, that was really robust. After Operation Midnight Hammer, his circle really shrunk. You've got it right there on the screen. That's kind of who he has around him in general. And obviously if he would just stick his head up and look at the results that he's getting, he would see that, you know, what he was promised is not what has been delivered. And so why he's not being more critical and bringing in more advisors, I honestly, that part, I don't know. I was around the president enough. I mean, I wasn't primary cabinet, so I wasn't with him every 5 minutes, but you know, I had a good deal of exposure to him. He's not senile. He's still very much with it. He's still very sharp. That's why, again,
okay,
a lot of times when people ask me what's going on, I'm like, you know, it is a head scratcher.
Okay.
You go
so,
back
so,
to like,
sorry to interrupt you. I'm notorious about that.
There you go.
I'm very bad about that. That's my worst broadcasting, quality as a broadcaster, but getting back into it. When you're talking about Trump, I was watching a Mario Newfall interview that you did, and you were, you know, talking about the Hezbollah pager operation. You were saying, well, if they're willing to do that because it's in their strategic interest, what else, you know, could they be capable of doing, you know, maybe domestically to us here? I want to go ahead and roll the green-black clip. That's clip 13, pager tactics. I want to go ahead and roll this for you.
We've got to start doing things differently. And the same goes here in Israel. This means that the problem won't be solved by yet another new Knesset task force. It won't be solved by the government just throwing money at the problem. It won't be solved by the IDF spokesperson's unit issuing updated talking points or suddenly using TikTok. Like us in America, you need to adopt new strategies, to experiment with creative tactics, to study the results and scale what works. Maybe it's a whole new IDF unit, call it 8300. To lead this fight. But we need the kind of genius that manufactured Apollo gold pagers and infiltrated Hezbollah for over a decade to prepare for this battle. We need the kind of courage that executed Operation Deep Layer inside Syria and destroyed Iranian missile manufacturing capabilities to undertake this mission.
All right,
mission.
Pause it. That's enough, Em. Get him off the screen. See, I take that as a personal threat, okay? You're not allowed to say that to me. I'm an American citizen. You work for a foreign government. Okay, and you could say, oh, it's American Organization, ADL. I don't care. Where does the money come from? What are your thoughts on that, Joe Kent?
I'm not familiar with who that is. That's the ADL.
That's the head of the ADL.
And
that's Jonathan Greenblatt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. I'm not sure what he was getting at there, but look, the Israeli influence in our own government, I think is something that we don't take seriously enough. It's almost become something taboo to talk about, behind closed doors. I saw that. I was surprised that nobody was just kind of calling it out. We do a very bad job of, we on one hand will recognize that Israel has a very capable intelligence service. That's actually very impressive. But then we kind of are naive and think that they would not use that against us when American support for Israeli operations is basically essential for the survival of their country. And so I think we need to be much more realistic, especially as we kind of scratch our head and say, like, what could be influencing President Trump?
So the reason why, sorry to interrupt, the reason why I throw that up, Harrison Smith, who's done an interview with you, he's got a video. It's got like 35 million views. It's called The Eight Front War. And it's basically a montage of Netanyahu saying, hey, you know, the next real battle, you know, is digital. It's information. We got to do media. And the reason why I played the video clip of Greenblatt runs the ADL. We look at it as domestic American citizens, as people that do media. This is like, you know, this is Red Dawn. This is the people parachuting in from a foreign government, a foreign country. And you can say, oh, it's an American organization, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. It's not an American organization because Americans don't do this. Okay. And I don't consider censorship to be an American value, much like the genocide. I want to ask you this question right now. I got to be honest about this. This is why I got back into it. Okay. It was at first Ukraine, where conservatively, you know, 1.5 million people are dead, probably a lot more. But really, the Gaza and Lebanon issue. What is going on? Why do we co-sign this? Is it because Americans are ignorant because they don't know? Those are our bombs, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we fund the IDF. So again, this is where we're just not realistic with the way that we approach the Israelis. The Israelis do a good job of having people who sound like you and I, because they're dual citizens usually,
right,
engage with us. So you can let your guard down and you can think that you're dealing with like some guy from Miami.
Right.
But really you are dealing with someone who has a very, very different view of the world and a very different view of warfare. And warfare is brutal. And the Israelis fight in a very brutal, old school, salt the earth type
rise
way.
And kill them first.
We're seeing that. We're seeing that in Gaza, yet at the same time, we don't acknowledge it that we're funding it. And I don't think we would fund, you know, one of our Five Eyes partners if they were doing something similar. As a matter of fact, I think that we would kind of call that out. But for some reason, because of the propaganda war that the Israelis run, because of how much money they pump into our elections, no one wants to come out and say that. And so we do turn a blind eye to it. And obviously that's morally horrible, but also like we have to take a step back and say, like, what ire does that get us from the rest of the world? And is that worth it? Because at the end of the day, like, what do we get from Israel? And people say, oh, we get some intelligence, whatever, et cetera. But is even that on its best day worth the amount of ire that we get from these Middle Eastern countries? Because at the end of the day, Israel doesn't really have any natural resources. The only reason they're a regional power is because of what we give them.
Well, they make
at the
war,
end of the day,
Joe.
Just speaking,
they make war.
Yeah.
They generate a need for the MIC, for the military industrial complex. That's what all of this is. And you're making the pragmatist, like, resource-based calculation, which I also agree with, and it's horrible. It's terrible. I don't want to pay for a single murder. I don't want to pay for a single dead American soldier. I don't want to pay for a single dead Palestinian girl. Okay, period. Or Iranian. I don't care, whatever. Just make it stop. And I think that's why your point of just telling Trump, hey, just declare victory and go home. I got huge issues with President Trump. I immensely dislike, perhaps even hate him now. That's my view personally. But if he just left and came home, it would be a lot harder for me to criticize him than it is right now. And that would objectively be good policy. What is your impassioned pitch? Why does that need to happen?
He just needs to look at the results. Like, if there was a military solution right now, if the Pentagon could come in with a cohesive plan that says if we bomb, destroy, kill X, Y, and Z, we're out of this thing, he would have done it. He would have done it months ago, and this whole thing would be over. It's pretty evident there's no military solution. When we went in to go recover our fighter pilots, we got a taste, and we got very lucky. Thankfully, we didn't lose anybody. But we got a taste of how hard it would be to actually do boots on the ground. We attempted some goofy, we're going to arm the Kurds. Nobody, I guess, consulted a map to see like how small the Kurdish territory is compared to the rest of Iran. So there's no military solution. There's no boots on the ground solution. If the Israelis could do some great intelligence coup, they would have done it by now. So our military efforts have reached their limit. That's obvious to the president. The diplomacy track, we continue to insert these poison pills, and the Iranians have been very upfront about what the poison pills are and why they're not going to give up and acquiesce, because they feel that they're militarily winning, and they're winning by not losing. They can expend very little resources, and they can shut down the Straits of Hormuz, etc. So basically, it's like, Mr. President, you are out of other options right now. You can control, for now, you can control the U.S. media and a lot of public opinion. Your supporters are going to go absolutely crazy and move out with whatever you say. So why not just say that you won? Every time he talks about Iran, he gives this punch list. He's like, we bombed their Navy. We killed the Supreme Leader. He does like a Trump rally speech on it, which is what he is incredibly talented at. Why doesn't he just give that speech while our guys come home? Because here's the thing. President Trump likes leverage. He likes to be in control. If we have our troops within reach of the Iranians, we are giving the Iranians the ability to drag us back into the fight on their terms.
Right.
Operation Midnight Hammer, when he flew all the way across the world to bomb Iran in the middle of the night, that proved that we don't need to have our guys over there within range of the Iranians. So he's still going to have the ability to strike them if he wants to. So there is no there's no losing in pulling our guys out. It's only advantageous to him.
I've seen a number of prominent Israelis signal potential issues with Turkey and, you know, the new battle coming up. You know, I've heard Naftali Bennett talk about it. I've heard Jonathan Pollard talk about it. I want to play some of those clips for you at the beginning of the next segment. But I want to ask you right now, if you had a message to younger people about this war and why it needs to stop and why they need to care, what would you tell them?
I would just tell them that the reason why our country's leaders cannot put their needs first, why they can't address the cost of living, why they can't make the streets safe, why they basically are making any kind of economic mobility impossible.
Right.
It's because the trillions of dollars that we take in taxes are by and large being sent overseas. And right now the vector point for that, like it's been for the last 25 plus years, is in the Middle East for another Middle Eastern war. And Iran is a much bigger country than Iraq or Afghanistan. It's much more significant.
Right.
The ramifications we're already feeling. That's why the price of the pump is up, making their lives worse. But I would say that this whole idea that America has to be the world's policeman, for lack of a better term, that we have to have this American empire where we control every aspect militarily of the world, that's why our leaders can never actually put our country first. So we actually have to be very judicious when it comes time to choose who's going to sit in the Oval Office, who's going to be the president. Because at the end of the day, the president really can't affect a lot of the different social issues and a lot of the different, you know, more local issues, culture war issues that get so much attention. Like the president really can't do a lot with, like, you know, healthcare policy, abortion, these different things that take up so much of our bandwidth, but they can affect foreign policy. And if they get us drug off into these wars, that will spike gas prices, that will send, you know, trillions of dollars overseas, and potentially that'll even send more young men and women off to die on foreign battlefields, you know, for basically for nothing but this empire. So when we go to choose our next president, it's got to be someone that's going to commit to keep us out of these wars, to keep the Israeli and any foreign influence, I don't care what country it is, keep their influence out of our government and actually start prioritizing our own nation. That's going to make us safer.
Yes.
That's going to make it so that our leaders actually deal with what affects our daily lives here in America.
Yes, I 100% agree. And really why I'm a big fan of your policies, you've been good on Ukraine, you've been good on this, and I really think that's the litmus test for, hey, are we serious about no foreign entanglements? Because I feel like there's two power blocks in Washington. I feel like there's kind of the more Euro-Russia-centric one that, you know, kind of wants a World War III with Putin and whatnot. And then we got the new faction that's concerned over the IMEC corridor and China's land expansion and the battle in the Levant with Israel being our aircraft carrier, so to speak. And I think it's really important that we have Americans out there that are saying, hey, both are bad, both are a problem. We don't need to be doing these things. We're becoming Brazil, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you looked around at the potholes and the conditions, everything. This country is descending down the ladder. And I think it's important, Joe, that we got people like you that are here to talk about, hey, maybe we can do something about this. Maybe we can stop this slide off into oblivion and reclaim what we have or had. And that is, in my view, the American Republic, not the U.S. Israeli empire. And I think that's what we need to return to. We're going to come right back after a little bit of a network break here. I got a lot more questions to ask you on the generational divide. I kind of chuckled. I have to be honest. I was making my boomer jokes and kind of laughed at a couple of them. That made me smile. So we're going to get back into it, joined by the great Joe Kent on the Alex Jones Network. Please repost, share the live feeds, share the live links. And do not forget, if you love this, you want to support the broadcast, go to thealexjonesstore.com for the highest quality supplements in the entire world. I'm Rex Jones, your guest host for today, joined by Joe Kent. We'll be right back.
excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back. But who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on. But we need your support, your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, or even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products, so it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network, and you will see that the answer to 1984 is still, and will always be, 1776.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Best afternoon show in the entire world. Really enjoying it here in the new Austin, Texas, Alex Jones Live Studios, AJN Network. I am your embattled host today, Rex Jones, joined by Joe Kent. But I was referencing a couple Jonathan Pollard clips referencing the coming war on Turkey. And then, of course, the threatening of the nuclear weapons use back during the Yom Kippur War that I wanted to reference. Let's go ahead and roll these two clips.
I'm not so sure that we will have as easy a time with the Turks as we've had with the Iranians. I've been following Turkish military doctrine and...
The storm is coming in the Middle East.
The storm is coming.
Yes, of course.
And they're a member of NATO. And even worse, they're a member of NATO. So I look at Iran as a problem we absolutely have to finish. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Gaza, same thing. And the Hezbollah. Why? Why am I fixated on this now? Because we have to be prepared for the next war, which will be probably against Turkey and Egypt. For the United States
and
the West.
All right, so this is Jonathan Pollard. And Jonathan Pollard got a 30-year sentence for espionage, treason, whatever you want to call it. He was spying on the U.S. for the Israelis. Of course, he gets pardoned or whatever. He flies over to Israel. There is literally photographic evidence of him kissing the ground, kissing the tarmac at Netanyahu's feet. You cannot make this stuff up. He's also, you know, all the way back in 2011 being visited by Huckabee, being helped by Huckabee. So you can't say that this, you can call it extreme, but lens of thought is not at least prevalent in some of these circles and some of these people that are being influenced. Joe, what do you think about this?
With what he's saying, I believe it because you're seeing the Israelis right now trying to do a lot of outreach to the Kurds who, you know, have a long-going dispute, to say the least. With the Turks, there's just been a lot of saber rattling there, and this was inevitable. This was actually one of the other dangers of what we did in Syria by taking out Assad. Obviously, the big issue there was we emboldened a lot of jihadis. One of them currently runs Damascus, but we did take away some sort of a buffer that was between the Turks and the Israelis. And now there's going to be a competition in the region for who actually is going to be the biggest shot caller there, because the Turks, they're a NATO member. They have a very, very competent, very capable military as well. And that is just unacceptable for the Israelis. And the Israelis, I believe if they can convince us to leave NATO or to get the Turks out of NATO, I think we're going to see a conflict there in the future. It'll probably start in Syria initially, but it's just going to spiral out from there. And again, what's our interest? Why are we even involved?
I didn't even think to ask you about Al-Shara, now Al-Julani, who comes over to the White House and, you know, kind of daps up President Trump. And President Trump goes, "You smell phenomenal. Look at this guy. He smells great." What is going on? I guess that actually makes sense if you make the Turkey connection and then what's going to happen there. I want to roll the second Jonathan Pollard clip. And this is one I've played this literally probably 100 times on my personal show. I always make the point to show people, hey, he claims that they've threatened the use of nuclear weapons in the past to get an arms embargo lifted. We don't know if that's true or not. He claims it. Let's go ahead and roll the tape.
For the United States and the West, nuclear weapons at any level, tactical, strategic, EMPs, whatever, are viewed as something that should only be used as a last resort. And even then, very carefully, on an escalation ladder, as they say. With me, I don't care if you start throwing nukes immediately, responsibly, but immediately.
And all right, pause it really quick. I messed up a little bit. I don't have the right video. He's talking to a African-American woman about nuclear weapons in the Yom Kippur War. See if you can find it and look it up on X. The point I'm trying to make is he's very flippant about this, and he says that they've threatened to use them before. He said, look, we were in a situation where we were hurting really bad. We parked the F-4 on the runway. We told the Americans to use their eye in the sky to take a look under the wing. Had some unconventional weapons on there. The arms embargo lifted the next day. Is this a way an ally should treat us?
No, not at all. I mean, in general, the way that the Israelis deal with us is not a way. Not even really an ally. A country that we are paying for. I mean, like in a business relationship, they are the junior partner. However, when you hear them address us and deal with us, it's not a junior partner relationship. And again, a lot of this is because we don't view the Israelis in a very clear-eyed way, but also because we've become so reliant on Israeli intelligence. A lot of our intelligence muscles have atrophied, and so we do kind of go to them. We're like, well, they are giving us this great intelligence, and we need it. I think that's nonsense. I think we have a very capable intelligence community. If we would just have to do some retooling here and there, I think we could do our own collection. But this is kind of the way the Israelis address us in general. And again, it's time for us to sober up.
Yes.
And realize how much we're paying for these guys, for Israel.
We're drunk. What we get in return. We're drunk. We got a mistress and she's too expensive. It's time to end the relationship. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me. I'm going to roll the Jonathan Pollard clip now, if we have it available. All right, I'm guest hosting. I'm a little junior. I make a little mistake from time to time. But once we roll the clip, people really understand the way it's flippantly talked about. And this is nearly, I think, 50 years ago. So this longstanding foreign policy of, oh, it's okay to bully or threaten or intimidate the United States. Why is it okay for the nation that we subsidize to treat us this way? It's not okay. And this is why young Americans are angry, because we've grown up in a world where we have not even an inkling of sovereignty. This is the problem. We're going to go ahead and roll it now.
Okay, let me give you an example of that. I was criticized very heavily for opposing the ceasefire, the American imposed ceasefire in Lebanon
on us.
And I was told by certain people in the government, look, we didn't have choice because we were being threatened with a complete cutoff of arms. So I listened to this. And the individual telling me this said, you don't believe this or what? I said, well, I believe that the O'Biden administration, as I called it, did threaten us. But I said, you're mistaken if you think there's never a choice. There was a choice. He said, well, what? Is it to have our weapons cut off? I said, no, let me bring you back to October 1973 during the Yom Kippur War, when Henry Kissinger instituted an arms embargo against us. He stopped the aerial resupply of our army at that point to extract diplomatic concessions from us. And what happened? What happened was an A-4 Skyhawk was parked at Tel Nof Air Base with some interesting weapons under its wings. And we told the Americans, take your eye in the sky and take a good look at the airplane that's on that runway. And the next day, the airlift started.
Okay, take us out. We got Jabba the Hutt with a beard and a tiny hat threatening the country, bragging about how they threatened the country into submission. And he goes on to say the arms embargo lifted the next day. Joe, I don't have the credibility to do it. You got to tell young people about this, about like the denigration of our country and what's going on. It makes me sick.
It's an off-balance relationship, to say the very least, to put it mildly, especially if you look at the wars we fought in the Middle East, the wars I fought in. I lost my late wife. I lost countless friends fighting these wars that really, at the end of the day, only benefited Israel. They obviously benefited, you know, the neocons and the military-industrial complex, but there's lots of crossover there. But we've just got to stop this next generation that's kind of coming into age and coming into political awareness. They've got to draw a very hard line and say that foreign governments don't get to dictate our policy for us, period, end of story. And we're not going to tolerate politicians that are deeply embedded with these guys. True. We're not going to tolerate politicians that, even though it's legal, are going to take millions and millions of dollars and still pretend like they have some individual agency and they're not influenced by this policy.
Well, I
said in my video, the young people give me hope, because I do think that they're not going to tolerate
That's a perfect tie-in, okay? Because what you're referencing is, like, it's good for the neocons, good for the military-industrial complex. Who is that also good for? The people that own the most stocks, who are the oldest people. So it's like this demonic negative feedback loop. And there's a reason why there's support for these wars, technically. There's a reason why these people do exist. Like, they're not all bots. It's not all like a Mossad or CIA, like AI creation. There are real people out here that I've interviewed that proudly beat their chest and support these things. And they're all over the age of 65. I've met him. I make it my mission to talk to 20 people every day. I want to show you this street interview I did with the boomer, if we can go ahead and get that ready, because I'm on West Campus. I'm around all these young people. The one old guy that I walk up to and ask a question, he's immediately like, Heil Netanyahu, basically. Go ahead and roll the clip.
Iran has been a cancer in the Middle East for a long time, and this war is like chemotherapy getting rid of a cancer. My problem is I know too much about history, and unfortunately, we have to do this. States, it sucks. I've lost a lot of money because of it. Have you ever been to Dachau?
You're talking about the Holocaust and stuff like that, right? What does that have to do with the modern state of Israel?
It has everything to do with it. If you go there, or you go to Auschwitz, you're going to see what happened to them. They have the right to return
to what was originally their homeland.
3,000 years ago, the Bible says and all of that.
It's all in the prophecies.
So you talk about Dachau. What about Gaza?
All right, pause it really quick. There's so much to break down here, okay? There's this weird stolen valor complex that the boomers have about World War II. And they think because their parents were involved in it, they were involved in it, and it gives them infinite license to paint whatever worldview they want. So that's number one, and the young people reject that. And Joe, if you come at them with the message of exposing that, I think that they're going to glom onto you, because that's how I feel. It's an outrage. Number two, he says, it's fulfilled in all the prophecies. I thought we were trying to stop evil theocracy. I thought we were a constitutional republic. I didn't realize we were a theocracy as well. So you see the insanity, and it's just, they live in like a Marvel movie they've created for themselves. You understand because you've literally been there and done that, but the younger people understand kind of on an instinctual level because everything's always gotten worse around us. The policies that have led us here are not things that we voted for or things that we wanted. They were pushed on us from decades prior. And a lot of these things, especially things the CIA does and military, other organizations, it's something that's handed down via administration to administration, and it's like webs within webs, and it just gets messed up. So what do you think about all of this?
I think you're right that the boomer generation, like they have been pretty heavily propagandized. The war propaganda, unfortunately, still works on a lot of them. There's a whole other element of, you know, evangelical Christianity. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ.
Sure.
But there is a whole propaganda wing that's kind of taken that over to weave in, you know, the secular state of Israel as being part of prophecy, which it just doesn't make any sense. But I think some of those boomers we might be able to wing back over to our side. But even then, like all his arguments, it's like, okay, fine. Even if all that, what you're saying is true, what does that have to do with like enabling the Israelis to invade Iran, making gas prices go up here? I just think that logic, even if you believed like, I don't know, half of what that guy was saying, you're still going to have a really hard time justifying this war.
Sure.
And that's where I think like the boomers are just, they've lost the younger generation. They've really lost the plot. And where the boomer generation is getting most of their information, it's, you know, it's from cable TV. It's from the newspapers. It's from mailers in the mail. When I ran for Congress, you know, just a couple years ago, I didn't realize that people still like looked at the things they got in the mail and they're
right.
Like, no, you have to buy mailers because they actually work. That blew my mind, but it's true. However, like as the boomers phase out, I mean, and we get more young people to vote, this is why I tell the young people, they got to get out there and vote because like we don't really even have to persuade the young people very much. Instinctually, like you said, they understand, like, why am I supporting
right.
What's going on in Gaza? Why do I care about this whole Iran thing? If it was like we had to go strike a country that was about to strike us, it was quick and done really quickly. And it was clearly defined and explained to them. Smart. They'd get on board as long as it, you know, the facts checked out there. But this is what gives me hope. Boomers can be very frustrating to deal with, especially when we see the way that they vote and the logic that they use, but their time, thankfully, is kind of coming to an end. I don't, you know, want the boomers. My parents are boomers. I don't want my
sure,
you know, but
sure.
It,
no,
it happens.
They're losing
political power.
No, my grandparents are boomers as well. I have respect for my elders and everything. But when you watch Fox News and when Thomas Massie comes out, it makes the statement of, "Hey, to Fox News only households, please vote for me. I'm a good guy." We shouldn't be having to make appeals like that in this country. You know, we should have free and open debate, but unfortunately, we have that elder segment of the population that's been so heavily propagandized through time. I often say this, you know, you're young, you're interfacing with screens all the time. You're like, get away from me. But they have like this weird hypnotic worship with the TV. And I think, Joe, like, I really want to encourage you. I'm just a bumpkin sitting here. I really want to encourage you to do more media. And, you know, maybe even to do your own show. Hell, come on the new network. Why not? Right? Trying to go live 19 hours a day. If you're able to kind of do deep dives and explain to the young people, not just that this is happening, but that it doesn't make sense. We're looking for answers right now. And we're so disrespected. They disrespect us. Everyone under the age of 30. They say, oh, you just want to watch, you know, internet streamers. You just want to watch, you know, basically porn tier acting of people hitting each other and wearing wigs in the street. No. We care about the world we live in. We want to have children. We want to have a country. We want to have life. Joe, do you love life? What do you love about life?
everything about life. I love our country. Love my kids. I got a 10-year-old and about to be a 9-year-old. So, I've got a lot left, a lot more life to live ahead of me. I love this country. I love our freedoms. I love the people in our country. I think it's the coolest thing that you talk to 20 people a day. That's an awesome goal. I think if more people did that, the country would just be in a better spot altogether. But yeah, there's a lot that's worth fighting for in our nation.
Yes.
And I had an awesome opportunity, in my last job right before I left the National Counterterrorism Center to work with a lot of people that were just coming into government service, a lot of, Gen Zs and younger millennials, the under 30 crowd. And they're sharp, they're fired up, they're patriotic. And really for me, a big reason why I left is I watched my generation, the post 9/11 generation, really the zeal and the passion that we had for our country after 9/11. I watched that be exploited. And we got sent off. We thought we were going to save our nation. We thought that we were going to be like the World War II generation. We were going to go fight. We were going to make our country better, come back, and the country would just continue to, you know, become more prosperous. But, you know, after a while, I realized that we were lied to. And I see the same hope and the same spark with the younger generation. But what I would say the younger generation has that we didn't have is they actually have a healthy skepticism. And as long as we can hone that skepticism in the right direction and, you know, like Charlie Kirk would say, keep questioning things. It's the only thing that keeps us free. And so that's really what I respect about this younger generation is like they really take that to heart. And so they give me a lot of hope. So again,
yes,
if we can get this younger generation out there to mobilize and to vote, we're going to take back the Republic in a big way. And I think big changes will come, whether that comes through the vehicle of the Republican Party or there actually is an independent and a third party that establishes just out of this frustration of the failure of the two political parties.
That's an excellent question. Sorry, I'm a serial interrupter. Like I said, it's my worst quality, but getting back into it. So we're about to enter the post-Trump era because I don't think he's going to run again for a third term. He's an old guy. He's leaving after 2028, right? That's what's going to happen. We have a situation where we have these dark horse candidates, whether that's a MTG, whether that's a Thomas Massie, whether that's yourself, who knows, or somebody else. And then you have kind of the more establishment wing of like a JD, of like a Rubio, of some of these like big Republican governors, like a DeSantis or something. I really think that once it's all said and done, and once we kind of enter the twilight of the Trump presidency and move on, people are not prepared for the new world. And I'm kind of happy because I remember the time before all this, and we're going to return to that. And it really is going to be who has the most coherent message to get to the American people, because the American people haven't been given a message in a very long time. It's a smothering. We're not told the truth about anything. We're just led off on a various like rabbit trail or wild goose chase. We're going to enter a time where, sadly, things are going to get a lot worse and a lot more expensive, but that's going to make people realize that we actually need a change. Now, the dangerous thing about this situation is, I was watching Harrison do a show on this the other day. How does the communist agitator get the guy to join his side? He says, well, your boss doesn't take care of you. You don't have health care. You can't afford to eat, can't afford to take care of your family, can't afford to live. Come join our side, brother. Come be our comrade. And then millions die and cities burn. So we have to have an answer on our side against that to say, hey, we actually have Constitution, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Common Sense, all these great works from these great minds. And if we just adopt the system we already are supposed to use, we'll be okay. I think that's a real message to give people is just fall in love with this country again. Fall in love with what this country really is, what America really is. It is a republic. It is a representative democracy. And I think at this point in time, Joe, it's very clear to everybody, even under the age of 65, I would just say broadly, that, you know, we have an occupied government and we don't have representative democracy. And there's a revolution over that back in the day. So what are your thoughts?
I think you bring up a good point about the post-Trump era, which, I mean, it's debatable after the midterms it might start then, because I think you're going to see a lot of Republicans kind of say like, well, you know, I got to start worrying about the next election. So they're going to start moving away from President Trump. But the problem that we're going to have that's going to create the space for, you know, a President Gavin Newsom or something even worse is going to be the amount of like just mistrust there is with anybody with an R by their name because of what happened with MAGA. What President Trump did in 2024 was historic. The coalition that he built, the 77 million votes, the popular vote, the Electoral College, because of the platform that he ran on, was amazing. But then what he's done in the last 18 months, he's probably jaded a lot of people from voting, you know, for someone who identifies as a Republican or anybody who was in this last administration. And so we're going to have to present an alternative. And it's not just going to be one person. It's going to be an entire team. We're going to have an entire team and say, hey, this is the guy at the top of the ticket. This is going to be the vice president. And this is going to be the people who are going to staff out his cabinet. And if it's going to be, and if it has to be authentic people who have a track record of being honest, this is why I think like that Massey is just so powerful, because he basically just has always voted in accordance with the Constitution, his principles, his district. Even though he was punished for it, he just walked out with all of his integrity. And I think that really resonates with people. And we need to be able to communicate this, in, on the media and in long form too, because this, the standard like political talking points and the media clips that get sent out there, I just don't think people fall for those
anymore.
No,
it's done. It's over.
It's going to have to be these type of conversations.
It's done. It's not acceptable anymore. It makes us all vomit, and we all recognize it. We all see it. That's the fact. That's reality. It makes people so sick, they're not even politically engaged. And that's a part of the trick. That's a part of the whole PSYOP too, is to make you feel so bad because you see the propaganda that's put out that you don't even want to fix the problem. And I think it's worth reminding people, like we just did, we're followers of Christ. We believe in Jesus Christ, the living God, and all of that 100%. And these people, ultimately, this is an atheist Satanist project, okay? If you look at anything where there's mass death, where there's loss of life, spending money for no reason, waste, excess, abuse, all of that, evil is a broken system, ladies and gentlemen. And we do not want to become evil. We want to become good again. All right. I genuinely think that we can do that. I want to ask you just a couple more questions about just party politics in general. What's your view on the Republican Party? What's your view on kind of the more right wing side of it? What's your view on, you know, kind of the Groiper wing of the party, if you would?
Well, it's the traditional Republican Party that I think is they have a lot of money and they have a lot of resources and a lot of infrastructure. But what's taking place right now with this administration, I just think that old GOP, the country club GOP, the neocons, they're on their last leg. Again, they're dangerous though, because they have so much money and they can get us involved in these wars.
Sure.
We've got to continue to focus our ire on that portion. Everything else, I think we need to have a lot of unity. So
I agree.
However people define themselves, if they say that we want to stay out of these foreign wars, we want to put our country first, we want to get rid of the foreign influence, we need to start building that coalition right there and just acknowledge up front, hey, that's the principle that we agree on, and we can disagree on almost everything else. And that's fine, because we're going to have time to sort that out once we apply the tourniquet, so to speak, of restoring our sovereignty.
Yes.
And that includes making alliances with people who, you know, might be on the left. And we're seeing a lot of those alliances being formed, and the mainstream will make fun of it and be like, oh, it's horseshoe theory or whatever. But they're making fun of it and they're attacking us because that's actually what they fear. They fear people kind of casting off the R and the D and just saying like, no more foreign wars, no more foreign intervention and meddling in our system and influencing how we conduct our policies. That's actually what they fear. I mean, most Americans, when you pull it, they define themselves as being independents.
Yes.
And they get forced into the two-party trap. So I think if we can vector that we're the place that wants to have just a very high level but very, very important policy of restoring our own sovereignty, we'll bring people over to our side. And I think all the petty tiffs that happened, I mean, I've been in politics now for a couple of years. And so there's lots of petty tiffs. Like, I can't talk to that guy because we disagree on, like, you know, immigration policy, or he likes tariffs, but I'm a free market guy. And these lines get drawn in the sand. But these are people that we should be building alliances with more broadly.
Yeah, sure. You know, it's like we got a big, beautiful banquet set out in front of us. You know, the American project that we get to build, instead of, you know, all feasting off of that together, you know, we're arguing over a crumb on the ground. And, you know, it feels like that a lot. We're stepping over dollars to pick up pennies. We need to have a unity message. We need to have a power to the people message. And, you know, I was really happy to meet you and happy to talk to you and happy to see your speech in Grand Rapids. And I want to see more of what you got going on in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Kent, thank you so much for being here. Anything else you want to say in closing, and where can people find you?
Right there. I'm on X. I appreciate you having me, man. Honored to be here. It was great to connect with you this past weekend. And everybody, just keep your head up and keep grinding. Let's build out the coalition and take our country back.
Amen. Phenomenal interview. Thank you so much, Joe Kent, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back in the third hour. Rex Jones.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics.
Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable, TK-421. Cabling complete, no faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy.
The Empire demands perfection. Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
Cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
What's your message to American families who are scared by the rise of AI? They're worried that their kids are not going to be able to have jobs someday because AI
will take over. Well, I'll tell you, AI has been amazing because right now we have more jobs, more people working right now in the United States by far than we ever had before. And outside of the war, and I assumed the economy was going to go down, the stock market would go down 20-25%. It's actually up.
He was supporting legislation that was bipartisan but mainly Republican-backed that would give literal liability protection from state, local, and individual, and most of the federal government, other than the executive branch, to a whole list of top AI companies. And the legislation would create a board of tech heads who would have the liability protection, but none of their competition would. And Trump's now created a board and has nine people on it. Now, that legislation got shot down. He brought it back up last year when he got in office. It failed again. So he signed an executive order and set up the commission. Notice Elon Musk is not on it. Ensuring a national policy framework for artificial intelligence.
It seems to be, with Trump going into Iran, no matter who you vote for, you do seem to get a lot of the same foreign and economic policy in my country. You do seem to get military intervention abroad and then kind of the tech and the financial sector dominating the domestic political agenda, no matter who's in there. And that's why all these tech CEOs are clustered around him in China. These are the same people that were with Biden and Harris and censoring their websites to limit conservative speech when they were in. So they obviously view themselves as the actual government, and whoever the president is like a guy giving them a tour.
They might be half right.
I think they're more than half.
How much are you spending, would you say, over the next few years?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I think it's probably going to be something like, I don't know, at least $600 billion through 28 in the U.S. Yeah.
It's a lot.
No, it's significant.
That's a lot. Thank
citizens
you.
Will be on their best behavior because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have camera, you know, cameras on them. I think we have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, if we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. It's not people that are looking at those cameras. It's AI that's looking at the cameras. No. You can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off. We're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times.
Just by these corporations and their operations with anything they say is AI, that means anything computers, being above the law, that creates a oligopoly of action, an eminent domain and total control, and they can toxic waste, steal water. They've already been caught doing it.
Data centers continue to use public water supplies without authorization. In Georgia, a data center campus consumed nearly 30 million gallons of water without initial payment, while local residents' taps run dry.
And then they are above the law and allowed to have all the energy they want from fossil fuels, but still they're going to have a lot of the green regulations on the general public, though Trump's backed off some of that.
So-called technology transition rule, which was crazy, forced companies to adopt specific high-cost refrigerants, massively driving up the price of transporting and strong and storing refrigerants and various goods. Today's reforms will deliver significant financial relief.
Us eating beef is bad. Us having a car is bad. You having a space heater is bad. All these jurisdictions banning fireplaces and barbecue pits. That's all bad, even though that's part of the atmosphere and good for the Earth. Methane's good. It's what holds the atmosphere in. We've always had mammals going around and other creatures passing gas. But now we got to shove tubes up the cow's butts in Canada and Europe and capture the methane and pump it into a mine shaft because it's deadly. But AI companies, they can do whatever they want. So when I was the first to say, almost 2 years ago when he's president-elect, I said, this establishes an AI dictatorship. I still support President Trump. People got really mad at me. They said, oh, come on, don't use a term like that. I read the damn legislation.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShow.com.
And sisters out there today. Well, I'm here on the Fox News television telling you about little old data center buddy. Little old data center buddy is sad. He doesn't have all the water and power he needs to generate the AI Antichrist. Well, you can be responsible for fueling your own destruction and damnation. Just go to giveuptheplanet.com today and donate your child's college fund or 401k. Because it's all about building more data centers. You want more data centers in your community. You want not potable water. You want to starve. You want to have rolling brownouts and blackouts. Because, folks, that's America in 2026. So support your local data center today at giveuptheplanet.com.
All right, that's enough fun. We like to have fun here. That was a little bit of a riff because I'm watching Fox News with my grandparents. Like last week, I'm watching Hannity and it cuts off Hannity doing his war propaganda. And it's literally like a Sarah McLachlan style, like save the pet, save the animal commercial, not for a political candidate, not for a party, not for a cause, even specifically for a data center. So that's where we are. And you'd think that was a joke. Honestly, I was kind of kind in my parody because I didn't even say or cut back to it. Let's go back to it again. I'm going to do it in the spirit of the ad that I watched.
Folks, I want you to understand. If you don't support the brave little data center, you ever read that book as a kid, that good old book, that little engine that could? Well, if you don't support the data center, you're not American. You might even be a Democrat. And we all know the label Democrat like the race label racist in the past, is the absolute worst thing to ever be called. That's what propaganda is. So if you don't want to be called a Democrat and you want to usher in the AI hell, then go to giveuptheplanet.com today. Or just go to Lindsey Graham's website and give him a bunch of money. Either way, you're going to build more data centers.
All right, and you'd think that that's a joke, but it's literally for real. It's kind of unbelievable at this point. And that's why, honestly, I'm a little bit positive. I'm feeling a little bit happy today because I'm like, the youth is going to do something about this, right? We see how monstrous and screwed up it is. We're going to rise up against it. I genuinely believe that peacefully, nonviolently, of course, but we're reaching that point in the country where it's becoming a little bit too obscene to tolerate. I want to go ahead and play this unity moment, which is clip 12. And this is Candace Owens and Anna Kasparian. After I play this clip, I'm going to read out the number and I want you guys to call in. I have questions for you about how you're doing, how you're able to or not able to pay your bills right now because of Trump's war. That's what I want to hear you talk about. If you want to ask questions about the Joe Kent interview or questions you'd like to hear me ask him in the future, that's also cool. The number to call in is 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. Let's go ahead and roll that Anna Kasparian clip.
And we need to find a way. We need to start strategizing on how to change the political class entirely. Yes, all of them. Okay. And the Chuck Schumers on the Democratic side, they got to go.
Mm-hmm.
They got to go.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, it has been an absolute honor to host Anna Kasparian. I am sure there will be backlash. Actually, not for me. My audience is very split now. Cause I'm,
really?
Yeah, I'm not like,
I know, but
I'm
like the
totally...
females in my family who are watching you, I was like, I was pretty shocked.
Like, yeah. You know, cause I just hate everybody. Like,
shout out to Lily Rodriguez, by the way. She wanted
shout out to Lily Rodriguez. Rodriguez. Yeah, I have just not, I just don't care anymore. We have to do more of this. It is the only way we're going to save this country. Against the Epstein class. And so if you're anti-pedophiles, if you are against what is going on in Gaza, then we really are actually on the right side. We're on the same side. Not the right side, I should say the same side.
The same side.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time.
And, you know, growing up in media, just in general, these people hated each other. All right. But it's bigger than that. We don't care about the beefs, the arguments, the disagreements of the past. This is about stopping the murder, stopping the genocide. If we call ourselves Christians, if we call ourselves believers in God, believers in Christ, who, of course, is the only God, right? If we say that truthfully, then we cannot support murder. So I think everyone's coming together and having a great unity moment on this. It needs to continue. It needs to extend. And this is an important point to make. I think about this a lot. So you have people on the left that were raised on a steady diet of environmentalism and anti-colonialism. And with the environmentalism side, I mean, screw that. Screw not eating a steak. Screw not getting on a plane or driving a car. They're building data centers that are going to use 10 times the power of all human beings on Earth. Okay, so that's that out the window, right? And then look at the anti-colonialism thing. Well, if America is so bad because they did it 100 or 200 years ago, look at Israel. They're doing it right now on video, in 4K video. I interviewed Anthony Aguilar. He took the video of the people running to the GHF aid centers getting gunned down. It's happening right in front of their face. So that's why people on the left are turning from it. And people on the right, I would say that don't matter anyway. Sorry to swear on air. I apologize. Amateur hour moment there. The human right aspect, the belief in God, the divine nature of the human person and the relationship we can have through God, through theosis, all of that. Like that's what I would define as my classical liberal value. Right? Saying that we have rights from God, not from the government. And it's not just us. It's everybody else too. Okay? Like we don't live on a special island. We were supposed to export these values and we export the exact opposite of them, ladies and gentlemen. And it's time for that to change. And the youth is recognizing the hypocrisy of it. Okay. I want to go ahead and plug again because I'm a small businessman. I need your support. I've got a lot of classic products. If you're a longtime InfoWars viewer, now Alex Jones Network viewer, AJN Live viewer, 50%off.com. That's 50%off.com. I've got Knockout Sleep Support. I've got Brainforce Plus. I've got Super Silver Wound Gel. I've got all the classic products that you remember, or a lot of them at least. I reformulated Knockout Sleep Support, and I've got it available on 50%off.com. Guys, if we can pull that up really quick, I do want to show it. I have not changed the price since 2015. Go ahead and click on that, Knockout Sleep Support. That's $29.95, and I'm going to do it blindfolded. I can tell you everything that's in it right now. GABA, L-theanine, melatonin, hops flower leaf extract, valerian root leaf extract, lemon balm leaf extract, valerian root, L-tryptophan, all of these things. I know this product like the back of my hand. I literally sold this product for a decade straight. Hundreds of thousands of units sold, millions of satisfied customers. No one else is going to be able to give you a deal on a supplement like that. The reason why I'm plugging this one right now, if you take a look at the lineup on the Alex Jones store, they don't have a dedicated sleep supplement. So I'm not trying to cut on anyone's market or anything like that, but if you want the best sleep supplement around, the best sleep supplement that money can buy, go to 50percentoff.com and check out Knockout Sleep Support. I've also got Classic Toothpaste on there if you want the fluoride-free toothpaste with the iodine and the tea tree oil. I've got that available as well. You want it, I've got it. I'm the only place around where you can get it. If you're buying from a Dr. Jones Naturals, for an example, that company got sold. I was their fulfillment partner. They left me. I was doing 2,000 orders a month for them. They said, tough luck, kid. We can do it for a buck cheaper. So they left me. And I had a bunch of overhead and a bunch of employees and a bunch of downsizing I had to do. But I'm out here as the original, doing what I was doing when I was 10 years old, which is selling supplements, asking you if you need it, if you need toothpaste supplements, if you have skincare needs, any of it, go to 50percentoff.com. Thank you so much for that. We got callers on the board. Let's go ahead and talk to Bart in Georgia. Bart in Georgia, you are on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, sir. But let me point out all the illegal immigration, jacking our rent up, and this war in Iran is ruining America. And I'm looking at Trump, and I've mentioned this before with Harrison Smith. Trump needs to be drug tested. There's this drug in Colombia called Devil's Breath.
Scopolamine.
Yeah, I think Israel or somebody is giving him a drip, just a little bit. He needs to be drug tested, and I'm not joking around. This is a serious thing. I think that he's under the influence of some kind of poison, and he's doing whatever he's told to do.
Wow. That's actually a really solid theory. I'm writing that down. Trump needs to be drug tested. Damn, I wish I had asked that to Joe. That's a phenomenal question. You know, a lot of like the lackadaisical kind of like floating around. You ever see like the old cartoon where it's like the guy and he's like floating towards the pie? You know what I'm talking about? Where he's kind of like skywalking on twinkle toes. We see a lot of that behavior from Trump we didn't used to see. So I think that's definitely a fair critique. What else is on your mind?
These alpha gal ticks. Don't even walk across the grass on the way to your car now. Another bioweapon. And then the data centers. All these things are ruining America piece by piece. And I could just go on for an hour if you let me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. It's outrageous. I mean, Bill Gates and all of them laugh about it, you know, years later. And then, boom, we got this explosion in the Lone Star tick. Obviously, this is not organic. This is not natural. These things don't just happen overnight. This is a program being run on people, and it's something the government is not investigating or talking about. They might pay lip service to it. But this is the thing. It's like, if there's a candidate, I don't care who it is, that comes forward and talks about this stuff and makes it a priority, we eliminated the screwworm all the way down to the Darien Gap. All right, the screwworm is a very nasty creature, which larvae, they get like this big. They burrow into mammalian flesh. It's disgusting. Look it up. Look up an image of it if you want to throw up. That's a free card to throw up whenever you want to. Just look up the screwworm. We eliminated the screwworm using irradiation sterilization techniques. And I've read a lot about ticks. Their life cycle is a lot more complicated. Here's the thing. If people are going to be doing Bill Gates stuff, if they're going to be shooting missiles of dust at the sun and releasing mosquitoes and making the lab-grown meat out of the cancer cells, and that's all true. You can look it up. It's all confirmed. If they're going to do that, why can't we just get rid of this tick? Why can't we do it? That's what I support, and I appreciate your call. Thank you so much, Bart in Georgia. I want to go to Omar. Omar from Yemen. How are you doing in California now?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing?
That's another day. I'm breathing. I'm grateful.
Hey, I've been listening to your father since 2010. God bless him. God bless you and your family, man. And, you know, me and my family, we take the supplements. And my kid had a bad reaction in 2010 to the vaccines. And I seen a video with Alex Jones on YouTube talking about the vaccines and stuff. And eventually I woke up and ever since then, we've been taking care of our health. So thank you. Thank your father for that. And I want to say, you know, if you connect the dots about how this whole thing started, like the way Trump changed on everybody, it's obviously they're being blackmailed, and it's not just him. It's every politician. The whole Epstein thing being revealed was not about just Trump. It was about every politician step in line, stand in line, and act right, you know? Notice none of them went against the war. After that whole Epstein thing showed, basically proved that everybody is tied into it, they basically blackmailed every politician, or just about everyone, to get in line with the war, right? Right after that, the war happened, and nobody went against it. Nobody, not Democrats or the Republicans, they all went along with it. They talked a little bit, yeah, like, you know, like, they're against it, but nobody stood up against it, you know? Like, really?
Well, that's a key point. And, like, the people that did stand up against it on the fringes, people like us, people like MTG, people like Tucker, people like Candace Owens, for example, they were labeled, we were labeled as not MAGA, as traitors, as whatever, all because we just believed in, like, I guess the lies that we had been sold about no new wars. I mean, Omar, you heard them say that, right? Yeah, your ears, they took in that message. They said no new wars, and they do new war. What do you think?
I heard it twice for, and I was going to ask, I was going to tell you.
Do we lose him?
We good with the Muslim community. Detroit and in New York, the Muslims, I was starting to notice a lot of my buddies are all kind of going along. They're loving Trump. They're loving what he's saying. And then right away, once he got in and started supporting Israel and the war, the Muslim buddies and my friends, they're like, hey, what's going on? We didn't want this.
Right.
We just wanted peace. We don't want war. You know,
right.
They really destroyed his. He could have had the whole country on
his
side if he would have went against it.
I know,
man,
Omar. Really quick. I'll let you talk more. Not trying to get you off the phone. That is what is so tragic and heartbreaking about all this, man. Is he had a mandate from heaven to lead. The Democratic Party was completely destroyed, obliterated. Like he claimed, Iran's nuclear facility was obliterated. The Democratic Party was actually obliterated, and it is literally like you write a manual of everything to do wrong, and then you execute on it. Like, that's what we witnessed, and that's what's so heartbreaking, and you get into the question of the blackmail. I don't even think blackmail is enough, because if you're the president of the United States, you should just be able to take out your phone and say, hey, I've been kidnapped, and then you post that, and we save the country. But I think it's like threats on the life, like, we'll kill you immediately, we have instant kill technology. This is just kind of the stuff that I've been thinking about, because it seems like we got a bunch of old people that don't want to die at any cost. What do you think about that?
Make a plug.
Sure, go ahead.
It sounds about right. And not only that, it's like we need to find people that are not scared, that will get up. And why do we have to act? Why do our politicians have to stay quiet on TV and, you know, act accordingly and not say nothing? Like, if I was blackmailed, I would wait until every camera's watching and I'll say, hey, these guys are right behind me. They're blackmailing me. And why we got to, like, just shut up? And
yes.
You know, I think that's America's weakness, is that they don't want to act up, you know, and that's why the black areas, police don't really mess around with too many black people anymore, because they get aggressive. That's just the truth. You know, we got to stand up. And I was going to make a plug about the supplements.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, a few months back, it was Ramadan. We're fasting, right? And I was taking that Optimal Human, the green powder, and I was taking the Life Force every night, like two pills a night, right before I sleep. And man, I swear, man, that stuff, like, I will go through my whole day of fasting, no water, no food, not even warm. I was not thirsty. I wasn't hungry. I would just feel really good. All my friends were like, are you really fasting, or are you drinking water and the cuts, like hiding and drinking water, coffee? And I'm like, no, I'm just taking Optimal Human at night right before I go to sleep. And man, that stuff is like lightning, dude.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Thank you so much, Omar. Really appreciate the plug. Call back in anytime. Let's go to Lee in Kansas. Let's do Lee in Kansas. Lee in Kansas, you are on the air, my friend.
Hi, Rex. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Just got a couple of questions for you. One has to do with Democrats, and the other has to do with the CIA. Let me do the CIA question first. I didn't tell your operator about it, but what do you think about this guy that just got busted with $40 million in gold bullion, gold bricks?
Blue chip prospect.
In foreign capital, 30 luxury watches, and he wasn't qualified to even be in that position to begin with. As they're doing the investigation on him, he was an IT specialist that made up a story, faked his resume, and got high ranking in the CIA.
Yeah, no, I think it's I think it's insane. I think it's an example of just like how many frauds are able to slip their way, you know, into these different, you know, appointed positions or like government organizations or like powerful bureaucracy. I think there's probably, you know, 1,000 people like him, if not more. And I think he's just one of the guys that got caught, probably a lower level. But it's insane how someone like that, like you said, like a failed IT guy lied about his resume, that he could get in and get $40 million worth of gold from the CIA for some mission. Or whatever. But I just say, here's the thing. I don't know enough about it. I just say blue chip prospect. Whatever he was involved in was probably insane. So.
Okay, my second question is about Hunter Biden. He's doing the course around doing interviews
with
Candace Owens recently. Is there any way you might be able to get him on your show, get him in the hot seat and ask him the tough questions about what's been going on, both with his father's administration and what he knows about Epstein?
That's a phenomenal question. I'd absolutely love to interview him if he was to become available. I don't know who his publicist is or whatever, but I'd love to ask him about Burisma. I'd love to ask him about the business dealings, and I'd really love to ask him about, you know, Biden and his relationship, you know, with Obama and these other parties and how that might correlate to what's happening right now and kind of just the factional nature of power, because he's a part of a power block, right? Like, whether he's born into that or whatever, even though, like, he's an artist, a recovering addict now, God bless him, he's a part of a faction. And, like, you're born into that. You don't get to choose necessarily. So I'd want to talk to him on a factional basis, because I was also born into a faction, the Patriot Liberty faction, of course, but the same type of thing. So I want to ask him, hey, what's it like, you know, cradle to, you know, you're still alive, not to grave, being a part of this thing? Did you ever have a choice? That's what I would ask him.
You also should ask him about his relationships with members of the Chinese intelligence through the CIA.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there's too much to list, brother. I agree. There's too much to list. Like, that's the thing. I just try to give you one answer. I appreciate your call. Anything you want to say in closing?
No, I just was more curious to hear about that. And like your father's mentioned how he has connections with, you know, intelligence. And here we have this intelligence agent that is obvious fraud, made up his entire resume. It's all a farce.
Right.
And yet he was able to get $40 million in gold bars.
Well, I mean, we bomb schools and kill little kids. So, like, I agree with you. It's insane. But, like, I don't see the connection. So
there's no accountability in D.C.
Totally.
Is what it seems like. And it's very obvious.
Yeah. No, 100%. What would you like to see? What are you going to vote for? Are you going to vote?
Oh, I do vote. I will never vote for a Democrat. I've seen way too much about their party that I just don't like. And I was a Democrat in New Hampshire for quite a while.
Right.
I have changed my party affiliation. And I'm looking at the candidates to see what they say in regards to both the issues in my state and in this country, plus our overseas dealings and, you know, why we're getting the wars. I know why we're going to war with Iran. I've known for a while. They can't have nukes, period. They were lying to us the whole time. The Operation Midnight Hammer was meant to take away their access to those subterfuges and any weapons they may have made, plus the delivery systems that they buried in all of those caverns. They caved in the access tunnels. And so now they can't get that. They don't have access to them. They're going to have to dig them out. They're still playing games with us when it comes to the negotiations, wanting to either have charges for people to use the strait or and be able to still have access to create nuclear fuel.
Yeah, but we lost.
Or what they say is civilian use. But we know they're lying.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with all your assertions there. We lost the war already. So, like, they can negotiate terms. They can dictate terms, quite frankly. They control the strait. They have the win condition. What's our win condition for this war?
What's our win condition?
Yes, how do we win? They win by keeping the straight close.
They sign a guarantee that they won't work on it, and they know we have access.
So that's not winning, though. That's not winning. That's signing a piece of paper. What does the American military do in order to win the war? Can we win the war or not?
We can win the war, both with the military and through political means.
All right, you're smoking crack. Next caller. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. No. Enough. All right, we're going to take Godzilla in Wisconsin, IDF Palestine war. You're on the air, Godzilla.
Hey, Rex. How you doing? Happy Friday. Yeah, I was wondering if you've heard of Operation Cast Thy Bread.
Right. Let's talk about it after the break. We're coming up on a network break. Godzilla, stay with me. We got a lot more coming up. Really appreciate the call. Hey, anybody who says that we can win the war, we can win the fight, you're a BS artist, brother. I don't care what you have to say. We're patriots over here. I'll see you in the next segment.
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? You're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes on. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or, you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you've got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body as it is to all of our bodies by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Brother, welcome back. We're nearing the end of the war room. We got a lot of great callers on the line. I want to get to everybody I can. We're talking to the great Godzilla of Wisconsin. Let's talk about Operation Cast Thy Bread. Tell me about it, Godzilla.
Yeah, I was wondering, have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. Maybe I have. I must have forgotten.
So I'll be quick. A brief summary. You can find it on Wikipedia. It was during the 1948 Palestine-Israel War. And it was a conspiracy theory, trope situation, but then proven true, where the IDF with David Guerin was using bacterial typhoid and putting in the wells of Palestinian villages to do, like, ethnic cleansing.
Wow.
And, you know, your father's always been about, like, the poison in the water and food and air. You know, and it's a, you know, critical element of the situation we're in, because it's...
Sure, let me read it. Life. Let me read it for the viewers and listeners out there, especially listeners, people on radio. Operation Cast Thy Bread was a top secret biological warfare operation conducted by the Haganah, and later the IDF, that began in April 1948 during the 1948 Palestine War. I assume that includes the Nakba. The Haganah used typhoid bacteria to contaminate drinking water wells in violation of the 1925 Geneva Protocol. I mean, that is literally, that's CIA Wikipedia. You can't argue with it. So, I mean, yeah, this is key. I mean, you can look at images of the West Bank where, you know, dogs have been poisoned and these things are done. Ultimately, they don't see them as humans. They see them as animals that are occupying their territory. And, well, whatever you got to do to get rid of an animal, you do it. You know, it's almost like, you know, some learning was done after World War II, where they're like, you know, concentration camps, maybe not such a bad idea. Maybe we do that ourselves. And that is the complex about being tough, is like, to be tough because you were abused, you have to continue the cycle of abuse and pick up the knife. We reject that. Go ahead.
100%. You know, and also, you know, from their religious ethno state, karmatically, energy wise, spiritually, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot by using such tactics in warfare. You know, it's going to come back to bite you
sure,
one way or another.
Well, the ends don't justify the means. So,
yeah, granted, you know, Israel's has such a small population. They have, you know, 15 million and such. They have to resort to such tactics. But still, that's not an excuse to do that.
Sure.
You know, it's just part of the brutality of war. And I totally feel you, Rex, being a younger gent and coming into the world, how horrible it is with this war situation. But, like, you know, it's unfortunately how we have to fight against it and try to make things better, of course. But it's what we've kind of, as a collective group, have allowed our
yes.
elites to set up this system of the military industrial complex. Like, the U.S. alone is coming up on its 250th birthday.
Yes.
Out of all those years, do you know how I was wondering the same, but do you know how many years of those 250 years we've not been in war? You're not going to believe this.
Tell me.
Only 22 years.
Wow.
Which, like, I'm sure, you know, you have to project power and maintain a superpower status, but there's a Goldilocks zone. And I think that's what in the world we're kind of reiterating now, is like, how to find that
I would say,
middle zone area.
I would say,
because we can't live like this.
Yeah, you know, I totally agree. We can't live like this. A big question. I want to interview Joe Kinn already again. I have so much I didn't ask him. About non-proliferation and the nuclear problem. Some people, they believe the Earth is flat and that nuclear weapons don't exist. I believe that the Earth is round and that nuclear weapons do, in fact, exist. And if people were aware, and my dad talks about this all the time, especially in context of Russia, right? If people were aware of how close we were to midnight during the Biden administration, even now, if you look at the attacks on Putin's house or the attacks on their nuclear triad, if people were aware that these things do actually have consequences, I think they would care more. And sadly, they have to find out through the financial reality, because, you know, as degraded as the empire is, it is still an empire at this point. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate it, Godzilla.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate it. Let's go to Sean in California. Sean, you're on the air.
Afternoon, Rex. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, love that conversation you had with Joe. My thought changed midway while I was listening because you had that caller who, while he was well-spoken, he wasn't able to enunciate an end game for this silly waste of resources. And I will tell you what, the end game for those clowns is they want to go through Turkey and unite with Ukraine, where a particular ethnic mafia that happened to come down to the Middle East was originally settled. They want to create that wedge that points right at the heart of Russia so they can split up one of the biggest Christian nations on the planet. So that's their end game, is getting themselves to poise. I kind of have a hobby as a kid, Rex. You know, if you couldn't afford a risk board, you draw maps as a kid, and then you would march your toy soldiers on your paper maps. I kind of would look at stuff like, if you split up this peninsula from this landmass, which, you know, sea route would you take, or how would you do a land invasion? I was a weird, you know, nerd kid like a lot of us, like, you know, your dad was. We study all that history stuff. So for what you're doing, by allowing us to present these ideas that, you know, we don't want this war in Iran. It doesn't give the U.S. anything good. Omar, the gentleman who called earlier from Yemen, pointed out that it loses the credibility of conservative Muslims because, yes, they exist. I know Palestinians and Pakistanis who would support Trump. But with this operation, unfortunately, support, they look like they've been betrayed. We who are America first, like yourself and me, we feel betrayed, like he sold us out. And we know it's the usual same small segment of actors that, you know, try to manipulate a larger population and then play victim. We recognize what their end game is. They won't be happy until the dark forces they worship under the guise of Kabbalism and other religious rituals, they won't be happy until they turn this world into a cinder block or get absolute
power. This is the key point, is like, we're told that we have to go to war and Americans have to die to prevent an ethno-state in the Middle East, when there's already an ethno-state in the Middle East. Forgive me, theocracy in the Middle East. It's both an ethno-state and a theocracy at the same time. And it's everything you're talking about, man. Like, they want to sacrifice the red heifer. They want to build the third temple. They want the Greater Israel Project. They want to absorb all these nations. And you talk about it, and somehow you're the criminal. You talk about it, and somehow you're the bad person. We're paying for it, okay? We're the pay pigs for all of this, for this entire system. And the moment the American taxpayer says, I've had enough, is the moment it all ends. And we can point all this blame on Israel and on the satanic death cult. And I do agree that that's there, and that is a huge problem. But it's really us. We're the problem, because we either don't care enough, or we like it because it boosts the stock market. That's the reality. So, in closing, your thoughts.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I want to give you something, Rex, that you may be aware of. Harrison's definitely aware of it. It's called newchristianright.com. You guys got a conference coming up in Dallas on May 31st. So J.P. Sears is going to be there. Harrison's going to be there. Looks like you got Alex Stein is going to be there. So there's going to be a lot of your guys, you know, speaking that are part of the InfoWars family or around InfoWars that are going to be you know, just discussing topics. It looks like registration for those early bird tickets is going to end May 31st.
That's awesome.
So, you know, newchristianright.com. I think it's the rest of the site for you guys just to help out. I believe it says conference call there. Or no, conference/conference/#schedule. So
beautiful. We'll post it for people. We'll promote it. We appreciate you bringing that up. Then go ahead and throw up the website again, crew, so everybody can see that. And Alex Stein is going to be there. J.P. Sears will be there. Harrison will be there. We really look forward to that event. Are you going to be there?
I live in California, as you know, so I'd have to trek cross country, but, you know, I'm trying to hold it
down.
You
never know. We got a lot of Californians in Austin, that's for sure, in Texas in general. So, you know, thank you so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Sherry in Montana talking about economy and data centers. Sherry, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, ever since this war started, I live in Billings, and we're pretty economically sound, but now it's gotten to the point,
right,
I have to strategically plan my days out, and I can only drive my car like 3 days a week.
Wow.
And I have to, and on those 3 days, I have to strategically plan which grocery stores I'm going to go to.
That doesn't sound like America. That doesn't sound like America. That doesn't sound like, you know, the place that we think is the greatest nation in the world. How long have you been dealing with this, and what's the sudden increase? Besides, of course, you're having to shop in shifts, you're having to find the best deals, you're having to limit how much you drive. How does that make you feel as an American?
Angry.
Me too.
So angry because during Trump's first term, we had so much money, we didn't know what to do with it.
Right.
So we bought new cars. We spoiled ourselves and bought new cars. And we did a lot of things. We also saved money. But as soon as Trump got in after the first, or Biden got in within a year, we went from a huge savings account to where we're barely able to keep it afloat.
Right.
I mean, we stock everything away. And then I got to tell you, if there's a major crisis, we're not going to be able to solve it.
Yep.
I mean, our household.
Yep.
And it's just really gotten bad. And one of the reasons I moved back to Montana is I was from Seattle, the devil state.
Right.
And they're trying to turn us left here.
Really?
They're it is bad.
Tell
it
me about
is it. Bad. Well, we've got politicians that are actually pretty much promoting socialism and promoting these AI data centers.
Wow.
In fact, we have a big campus in Broadview that we're fighting, trying to get up. They don't have the water for it.
Right.
They don't have the electricity for it. I mean, everything has gone up to the point, and we make good money.
Right.
My husband makes good money, and we are living paycheck to paycheck.
Right. Yeah, it is brutal. And I was looking at my bills and I was like, why am I so broke? And, you know, nothing has changed besides, you know, my shipping costs. Like, I run a fulfillment center. So because of the diesel surcharge, packaging has become, you know, 10 to 20% more expensive. And that dovetails into getting your materials, that dovetails into everything else, that dovetails into like consumer spending power. Consumer sentiment is at an all-time low. I sell retail products. So for me, this is devastating. And like, I'm an employer. Right. And I also have to pay rent for myself. And I find myself having to make a decision between those two choices. And that was not my reality before. And I think what's such a gut punch for people like you is like, we all thought that this was going to be better. We all thought that the opposite of this was going to happen. And, you know, people can say, oh, you're going to vote for Kamala. You're going to vote for Kamala. Trump ran on the truth and he delivered us lies. Okay, Kamala ran on lies. She was going to give us lies anyway. They told us good things. They told us we're going to stop the wars. They told us we're going to prioritize America. They told us we're going to stop inflation. All that is completely out the window. I understand your frustration. What's the name of that town really quick? I got to go to the next caller, but I'm going to do research on that. You break it down really quick.
On Broadview. It's in Broadview. There's only 130 people that live there, and they're and everyone in the surrounding area, including Billings, which is the next biggest town, we're totally freaking out because our gas, our electric, and our water's already soaring.
Wow. Already? Like, as they're building it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been screwing us on. We have not changed our habits on our water at all. It's just me and my husband.
Right.
Our water has gone up from $35 a month to $150 a month.
Whoa.
Which is nothing different. Nothing different.
Wow. Yeah.
We're not even watering our lawn.
Ma'am, I'm so sorry that you, just like millions of other Americans, hundreds of millions of other Americans are in these situations. I'm in these situations as well. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much for your call. I'm going to take Don in Missouri, and I'm going to get to everybody else. I'm going to try to. Go ahead, Don in Missouri.
How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. You are wanting to hear from people, wanting to talk about the economy, and just to tailgate on that last caller a little bit.
Sure.
Sounds like she's, I don't know, what you say, she's struggling with it a little bit.
Water prices. Her water price went from 30 to 150. That's just one example.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not manageable in most people's budget. We started prepping, you know, about 15 years ago, and a big part of that process, when we first started prepping, just to tell the story a little bit, I got vaccine injured. We woke up. We started prepping. Okay, that's the short story. So we started prepping, and we were living pretty tight on that day. And when we started prepping on a weekly grocery trip, we might have $8 set aside for our preps, right? And over the years, God's provided us lots of abundance and really blessed us. But, you know, the people that are struggling with all this, that would be my, I don't want to say advice because nobody wants my advice, but work that budget. You know, we our budget is scrupulous. So as the economy has eroded in the last 5 or 6 years, it hasn't had a ton of impact on our day to day. We're paying more for stuff, right? 2.5 times what we were for groceries 2 years ago. But because our budget was already so tight, already so lean, it's not like we're having to do without.
I understand that. I think that's a very important point to make to people is like, and I've tried to do the same thing right now, like going through my bills, trying to cut everything that's unnecessary. There's always like waste in certain areas because we're human beings. We like to have fun, whatever. But
yeah, absolutely.
The thing is in the greatest country in the world, we shouldn't have to live this way. And we should have abundance. We should have excess. All right. Excess isn't a bad thing compared to scarcity. It really isn't. So I abhor this position we've been put in. It's good for you to be proactive, and especially on the prepping front. I mean, I've been an advocate of storable food for years, been an advocate for water filtration literally all my life. Having access to these things literally will keep you alive. Thank you so much, Don in Missouri. Let's go ahead and go to Emmett, who has been holding for 30 minutes. Emmett, I love you from Seattle. You're on the air.
Hey, trying to figure out how to pose this to you. The last two times I've called, the first was with your dad, and I got him to agree to try and get Patrick Byrne on, and then the second time Patrick was on, and I got in and spoke to Patrick directly and was able to ask him a bunch of questions about the Maduro arrest and his investigations surrounding the Dominion voting fraud and all that. But I didn't really get to ask him the question I was digging at. But now in light of the Massey result and Massey losing his primary, I'm completely convinced that the reason that Trump is acting in this, I don't give an F mode, like your dad calls it,
right,
is because when he captured Maduro, and that other intel officer from the Venezuelan intelligence service, and then they didn't completely flip the government and wipe all the communists out, but they just put Delcy Rodriguez, the vice president, in and whatever. It became,
sure.
It was basically
a mini
CIA coup, yes. And I believe now, in light of the Massey result, that what's going on is that Trump has flipped Maduro and his intel people, whoever had the keys to the castle or the computer code keys to effectively capture that Dominion voting system, voter fraud system, and, you know, basically turn the weapon that was used against him to steal his election, capture that and wield against as a revenge weapon. And I want to know what you think about that.
Well, I don't buy it, but I don't necessarily not buy it. I mean, you look at the mail-in votes that come in for Galarin right on time and stuff like that makes me pause. I'm not entirely sure. I don't know enough about Venezuela and Maduro and the machines. I should watch more Patrick Byrne interviews. Really appreciate your call. You got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I'd really love to see if you guys can get Patrick back on recently. I don't know how to reach out to him directly. I don't use any social media, but the only times I've interacted with him is through you guys' loving family. I love InfoWars.
Yes.
Whatever you guys call yourself now, and thanks for taking my call.
No, 100%, and I'll do more research. You'll see me put out maybe a show or an ex post or a thread about it. Thank you so much. Let's go to Jefferson in Virginia. You're on the air.
Hey, Rex, thanks for taking my call. Good to talk to you.
100%.
You know what a rod from God is, don't you?
Tungsten steel. Yes, I do.
Yeah, what if we can put unlimited numbers of those up in orbit?
I guess we could use them, you know?
Right. If we have an endless rain of rods from God coming down on the southern coast of Iran, do you think they're going to keep fighting us about the Strait of Hormuz?
Maybe not, but once you cross that bridge, you can't come back, and China and Russia would probably hit us with their own advanced systems. So it's kind of like nukes.
They're not radiate. There's no radiation.
I know, but
involved.
It's a level of escalation, like a comparable level of escalation would be the Arashnik missile, which is not carrying a nuclear warhead, but is nuclear capable. That's kind of a rod from God in its own way with the MIRV. So I think we would just see all out total war.
Well, I mean, we can be afraid of that if we want to, but that's not even our best weaponry. China and Russia know we have much, much better stuff than that. They've been let know, you know, we have scalar weapons. We have all kinds of things. You know what the big stick was back in 1960s? The unlimited range cruise missile?
You're talking about, I guess it's nuclear powered or something. I thought we didn't have those.
Unshielded nuclear reactor. It was terrible in terms of it would fly over your country endlessly and pollute it with nuclear radiation. That's not the point of what I'm trying to make, though. If you make a supersonic shielded nuclear powered cruise missile that creates a sonic boom endlessly, you could make a country just surrender because they have a sonic boom going over their heads endlessly all day, every day that you can't shoot down.
Sure. I look at it. I'm like, yeah, we could do it, but also war crime. So, like, I don't know.
Harassing the population is a war crime when all they have to do is surrender.
I would call it terrorism.
Well, nobody's being hurt except for their ears are ringing and there's a shockwave going on.
You don't think people would die from that?
Not if we don't want them to die from it. No, but I'm just, how long are they going to put up with it?
Right? I don't know. What I'm saying is, I don't think we can do that to people, bro.
Okay, well, I mean, if you don't want to engage in war, don't engage in war. But if you're going
that's my position.
In war,
you're right. Don't engage in war. That's my position. You seem to be advocating for war, and that's not my position. So you're asking me to defend your position, which I don't agree with. So I don't understand.
We have options, and I think, you know, whether Trump is aware of all the things he could be doing and is rejecting them, or he's not being told of a lot of things he could be doing by an industrial complex that isn't necessarily interested in winning, but just having an endless war.
Uh-huh.
Right? You either want a quick war or an endless war. Which one do you make more money off of?
No war.
The endless war.
No right? war. The American people make more money if there's no war. I appreciate the call, Jefferson. Thank you for the call. Here's the thing. When you advocate for stuff like this, you're advocating for World War III. You're advocating to go up the escalation ladder. If we use secret weapon, they're going to use secret weapon, whatever. That's World War III. All right? That's not what I stand for, ladies and gentlemen. I stand for peace. And just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because you can kill all the Palestinians doesn't mean you should. Just because you can annex Lebanon doesn't mean you should. Just because you can invade Iran doesn't mean you should. Okay? So, like, sure, we could drop 1,000 nuclear weapons and destroy the planet, and then we'd be king of everything forever, but then we'd all be dead. So, like, I don't understand. It's like, yeah, we could terrorize the population with the sonic weapon to beat them into submission. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of using loudspeakers to humiliate and propagandize a population. That's a war crime. So I just don't get it, bro. I don't get how people sitting over here, bro's in Virginia. Okay, we're in the lap of luxury over here in the West. How you can be like, yeah, you know, we'll just use the sonic weapons and we'll just drop rods from God on the desert people because we need to win the war. It's got to be quick anyway. How about no war? How about we retreat? How about we say diplomatic relationships? How about we say it's over? We can't do that because we're the empire, folks, and the empire never says die. But good thing for me, I'm not a servant of the empire. I'm a servant of the republic. I'm like Obi-Wan Kenobi, okay? I stand for the republic, for democracy, not for your new empire. And to those out there that support that stuff, you're getting what you want right now. So how do you like it? Is it working out for you? You know, I debated a series of fat, old, rich men who came on my program, the Quartering and Andrew Wilson, who told me, it never gets any better. All the presidents are bad. Well, if you don't support Trump, you support the Democrats. And Trump isn't nearly as bad as the Democrats. These people are murderers, okay? And rich, fat, old men co-sign it because it doesn't affect them and the stock market goes up and it makes them more money. I'm broke. My friends are dead. OD'd, killed themselves, you name it. That's my reality. Okay, I'm graduating class of 2020. I didn't get to bloviate around the 90s like y'all did, okay? So no more wars, no more death, no more crazy G.I. Joe type weapons. It's over, okay? The youth is not going to accept it anymore because we want domestic prosperity and tranquility, and we don't get that unless there's peace on Earth. And guess who's causing the violence on Earth? It's us, people. And I'm making that point again. It's not the Israelis even. They want to do it. We're paying for it, okay? If we didn't pay for it, they couldn't do it. So it's really our decision out there. And let me look at the clock. I got 20 seconds left. Get out there and talk to 10, 20, 100 people, as many people as you can every day, and let them know there is an illegal war of aggression that they are paying for, that they are co-signing, and they need to stand up and not accept it for 1 second longer. I'm Rex Jones, War Room. Find me, Gray Area Talks, New American Journal, on Rumble, 50%off.com, 50%off.com.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is what we're, this is our new normal. That, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach? In California, Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. That is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack. A massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.